This is PFW in Progress.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
I mean, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the f*** a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Love Big Mac.
Le Big Mac.
What do they call a Whopper? I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Did you have it?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious box. What kind of hamburger?
Cheeseburgers.
No. Where'd you get it? McDonald's with
Andy Hart.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. You mind if I try one of yours?
Some guy named Tom.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. He can eat busted bottles and rusty nails any damn thing.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a good burger.
PFW in Progress.
You want a hamburger? No cheese. No cheese. No cheese. No cheese. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
All right, welcome. And right off the bat, a big shout out goes to Vinny Ferraro. Vinny is today's lunch provider. Says he hasn't done it in a while, but that's okay. Once is enough, but twice is really good.
Vinny, you're great, man.
So
we needed it today. We needed it.
Vinny, of course, if you're ever in the area,
just stop by.
Tom will give you a tour.
That's Fred Kirsch.
And that's awesome.
We've always said we can't give tours. We're not allowed to go places. You're allowed to go.
I don't go anywhere where you're not allowed to go.
Around here. First of all, you took me through a back room once that I don't even know existed. So you go lots
anymore.
Of places. Why?
Because they built it out now. It's like the lawyers are sitting back there.
Oh. But you definitely are the one who gives tours because you know where to go, how to get there, and no one will yell at you.
Well, I'll take you with us next time, Andy, so you're fully equipped to do it in the future. But
first of all, I couldn't get in this morning. The woman at the front desk said, "Excuse me, do you work here?" when I walked by her. And I go, "For 8 years."
Well, I would have said no.
I would have said, based on yesterday's performance, no.
Yeah. But Vinny also has a question. What happened to our defensive line in these last two games? Seymour does not look good, but neither does Vince Wilfork or Jarvis Green. Your thoughts? So let's answer Vinny's question since he was nice enough to give us a lunch.
I think Wilfork didn't play great last game. But I wouldn't say he's been a problem all season. I mean, Wilfork's played at a pretty high level. Well, Seymour has come back from being on the PUP list and hasn't really regained. I don't know whether I think what Andy said, you know, or Paul, someone said it yesterday about if the knee injuries are starting to catch up to him and maybe he's just slowing down a little bit. I mean, it happens. You know, I remember a guy for the Cowboys, Tony Tolbert, who was a Pro Bowl defensive end, and he got an injury to his back. And he was just never the same. I mean, he wasn't as good as Seymour. But I'm just saying, sometimes you get these injuries and your drop-off is noticeable. And maybe that's what it is.
The only thing I will say is the front. You know, okay, so Seymour is not Seymour anymore. But we were saying that one of these other guys was on the verge of surpassing Seymour. So they should be the one demanding the double teams and easing the load on Seymour if he's not the same guy.
Let me ask you. Hang on. I'm chewing. Sorry, it was the last piece. Let me ask you a question. Is there any chance Wilfork's a little bit worn down, not having that backup to kind of come in and take rep? Wilfork seems like he's the guy that's always on the field. There's not too many times where he
Could
isn't
be.
On the field. You think maybe not having that veteran guy to put in for 5 to 10 snaps a game might be catching up with him a little bit?
Could be. I mean, it's hard to you really
he gets,
quantify
that's the guy
those
they double team. The
right.
You know what I mean? He's
he
got to fight through
teams.
A lot of traffic.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what a nose tackle is. So. But I just, but a lot even of, Warren, why isn't he demanding double teams? We talked about, he's ready to take the next step, Pro Bowler. Maybe he's better than Seymour. They have these three guys. They're all first-round picks making millions of dollars, and it's supposed to be the best young line in football. If one has a down, then the other should lift him up. This isn't a one-man show. It's supposed to be a three-man party out there, and I think they all deserve the blame for not playing well last week.
Yeah, the last week part of it is where I really agree with you guys. I thought Tom's right. I think Wilfork has played at a pretty high level all year. Warren, I think, has been a little quiet, although statistically he's right up there with everybody. But I thought Wilfork just didn't play well against Baltimore. I don't think that's been a problem all year. And certainly when you talk to the players, I talked to Mike Vrabel about this a couple of weeks ago.
Not today, Paul.
He said that the only guy that consistently gets double teamed on this defense is Vince Wilfork. So clearly he is getting that kind of attention. And as Andy said, that comes with that position too. I don't think the defensive line has been bad. I just think Seymour hasn't been Seymour, and that's been noticeable. And yeah, it's especially so in a game like last week where they couldn't stop the run.
I'm looking for big things from that front line this game.
I agree.
This game.
I think they will have a very good performance. They've been challenged.
That's generally the way it works.
When challenged, especially, you know, it's not like saying Ellis Hobbs has been challenged. He's Ellis Hobbs. Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and Vince Wilfork are very good players, and you challenge them, you focus on them, I expect them to bounce back.
If they don't have a good game, you are what you are.
Right.
Because if they don't have a good game, they may lose the game.
Well, not just that, Fred, but you know how we're all kind of like waiting, like, well, they were kind of sleepwalking.
Right.
If they come in and don't play well, I'm talking about the defensive front.
Right.
Then they're just not that good because it's not going to be week 15 all of a sudden you're going to turn things around. I think even Bill would tell you that.
All right. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We welcome everyone to the show, especially Vinny, who gave us lunch.
Thank you, Vinny. You're the best.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Of course, it's Friday, so I'm not sure if Felger will be here later. Oh, he will. I get the nod from Dan.
I'm not looking forward to that visit.
Dan pays attention.
Dan's in the booth. Dan's in the booth.
I was going to ask you when you met Dan.
He's
been interning here for years.
Felger's going to be gloating because Andy and I didn't think the Ravens had a chance. And for once all season, Felger was right. Hey, so
what are you going to do?
Well, even a blind squirrel finds it.
Yeah, I'll take it on the chin. I'll let him have his day.
Sure. I mean, we certainly gave it to him about Randy Moss. So.
And everything else that he's wrong about on a weekly basis.
So
I just saw, by the way, Tom, as a complete changing of the subject, they're having highlights of the Bears-Washington game from last night. And obviously both quarterbacks went out, Fred. I guess when Grossman got hurt, Brian Gumble, they were watching him, walk off the field. And Brian goes, well, he's getting off under his own power pretty well, so maybe it's not that serious. I mean, anybody that looked at it and then watched him in obvious pain coming off the field, he's not coming back anytime
soon. It was one of those obvious ones. At least an MCL tear, maybe more. And I don't know if it's come out yet, if it's ACL, MCL.
Well, no, he seems to be walking all right. There's a chance he could come back. And I was thinking to myself, they look like they're going to amputate the leg.
Well, he also said, you're saying there's a chance?
The kick is up, and it's good. Oh, it isn't? Well,
would you agree that the two people that get the most fire of all the announcers in the NFL this year are Gumble and Tony Kornheiser?
Probably deserving, especially in Gumbel's
And it's a bigger
part.
Problem for Gumbel because he's supposed to be a broadcaster, right?
Yeah, Kornheiser is
a writer who they threw in there to drum up talk and entertainment and all that.
Fred hit it right on the money. It's like he's doing a news show. That's what it's like. It's monotone.
Right.
But Kornheiser didn't miss. The guy who thought Kornheiser could do the job missed.
Yeah, plus one of them is a play-by-play guy and one is a color guy, which, even if Kornheiser, was at all trained to do what he's been doing. I mean, he's supposed to be giving analysis and some opinion and whatnot. Gumbel has got the straightforward, this is what I was trained to do job.
Yeah,
I'm a play-by-play. He's just not good at it.
I think I might throw my hat in the ring for Kornheiser's job. I think I could do as good, if not better, than him.
I think you could, too.
People would laugh.
With
you, at you, something.
Yeah.
You're going to wear that shirt with that stain?
I just call people by their wrong names,
Yeah, they'd love that. How would you react, though, if you were one of those, you just talk about Kornheiser or Gumbel, and every city you go in, you flick on sports radio, Kornheiser sucks!
Kornheiser doesn't care. That I know for a fact. He doesn't care at all.
I wouldn't take it very well.
But Kornheiser is, he's been around for a long time.
Right.
I'm sure he's taken this kind of abuse before, and I think he actually has fun with it. Because he'll talk about it on the show sometimes on PTI. And they screw around with Dan Le Batard, who everybody hates.
Yep.
And so I think he has. Now, Gumbel, I got a feeling it cuts a little bit
oh,
deeper.
Yeah.
With
I just think he's so arrogant that he probably doesn't even hear it.
Yeah. Well,
Gumbel? I think if he realized it, I agree. But
he
I think
just
he's so arrogant. Yeah. I'm smarter than them. They don't get me. I'm too cerebral for them. That's why. That's the way I picture him.
While we're on our short little diversion here into the media, did Tom, I think you noticed. Did you see Sal Pal addressing the fans in Baltimore and then taking photos for them with his thumbs up from the press box? What an egomaniac idiot that guy is.
Yeah, if the fans want to know just one guy in the media who's a real jerk, that's him, Sal Palantonio. Don't buy his book. Don't talk about his stupid book. Andy Hart could have written the same exact book if he was more famous and not a, you know,
nobody.
Andy Hart.
just wouldn't have been as good.
Yes, it would have been better. Because I'm not the colossal douche canoe that he is.
No, it would have been better because overrated tight ends wouldn't have Mike Vrabel.
Right. And Mike Ditka. No, isn't Ditka underrated?
Yeah, Ditka's underrated, him and Vrabel.
How do you get more rated in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, as Vrabel said, isn't that guy in the Hall of Fame?
What a joke. That guy's a clown. And he's an arrogant
SOB.
Web Radio at Patriots.com. Let's talk about the team. who was at Bill Belichick's press conference today?
Us.
All of us.
Everybody raises their hand.
Josh McDaniels.
Do we have anything to learn today from what they're saying? I heard that yesterday he backed off his "we're a tired team" comment.
Yeah, not only did he back off, somewhat unsolicited, he clearly wanted to clarify those remarks that had been quoted everywhere. All written stories had those remarks in it, and he and Bearish apparently got together and decided they needed to nip that in the bud. So he did that yesterday. Today we learned that Chuck Knoll is the first one who told him, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And that was scary about those Steelers because they were pretty good now.
Okay.
That's about all we learned today.
We didn't learn a lot.
Yeah, we didn't learn much.
I tried to learn something. I tried to ask about both. Someone brought
Eric brought up.
Asked Josh McDaniels about the goal line package that we all hate with Seau, Vrabel, and what's
Heath,
the other guy?
Heath Evans.
White power.
Yeah, white power. sort of white power, right?
Well, Seau's a little ethnic, right? Eccles in there sometimes, too. That's the whole white power package.
And so McDaniels just didn't really have an answer. And then,
basically, McDaniels said, because we decided at the beginning of the year that we were going to do that.
Right. And then I asked Bill why they do that, and, well, there's a lot of reasons why we do that. Didn't really answer. And then I followed up with, is goal line running or short yardage running something Maroney needs to work on? And he said, what did he say?
I have no
idea. The ego on that guy.
What do you mean? I'm recounting.
I did this and I did this.
He said, I never said that. And I said, is it? And he still didn't answer. So we know no more about why.
Just for the, so everyone else knows, there was other people there asking questions too. It wasn't a one on one with
none of them any good though.
Bill Belichick.
None of them were any good.
I said that, Andy.
You did. Is that to me?
So you know what's funny is I think he said, I don't think I ever said that. To your questions more than anybody's.
But you didn't say he said that either.
No, I asked.
You know, he
and
said,
that's why I followed up with, is it?
The question was, is that something he needs to learn or work on?
I don't
want
to be argumentative.
And Bill said, I never said that.
Right.
I didn't say you did. I was asking you if you thought it was something.
I just asked you that.
I'm asking
you.
I asked.
Is that? It ended with a question mark on the teleprompter.
But we do notice that Lawrence Maroney got a game ball for his performance last week, which is encouraging. They wouldn't hand this guy a game ball if they were unhappy with him.
If they handed it to him, he'd get tackled right there.
You know, maybe
I throw it to him.
I just got to disagree with you. I think that maybe they realize that the way to help him along is not to break him down like we were baby him a little bit.
Well, that could be true. But in either way, it's something to consider there. Well, and they gave him a game ball.
He made big plays in that game.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so he was a focal point. I just think it's going to be interesting going forward, seeing how they use them. And, like, I just go back to what Andy said about the offensive line. It's hard to ask those guys to just, start run blocking.
Yeah. Right.
He did a few things in that game that I think that would be reasons why Bill might think of him as a game ball. You know, a couple of blocks, one in particular that I remember where he absolutely flattened a blitzer. Got the legs out from under him. Really, really good block. And on the two receptions, they weren't, like we talked about yesterday, they weren't screen passes. They weren't designed plays.
No.
He went out, he had a chip block in the backfield, he went out, and then the play broke down, he made himself available to Brady. It was a smart play, it was an instinct kind of play, he kind of found some space, and I think those are the kinds of things that Bill says, that's football, that's what I'm looking for. I think those are the things that maybe Bill looked at and said, well, that's a game ball.
Just real quick, you know what I want to see this week? Remember when Marshawn Lynch played here that first time, and he didn't have great yards per carry, but he ran tough and he repressed us all. I know Maroney's not going to have 150 yards against the Steelers, but I'd like to see those tough 3-4 yard gains that running backs can get. So that's what I'll be looking for this week.
After we go to the call, remind me to tell you something Kuiper said about running backs.
Okay.
On the phone right now is Mike in Sharon. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, guys.
we're in trouble because Borges made an excellent point on UPN 38 after the game.
He's still around.
Borges has a job? I'm serious. I didn't know he still had a job around here.
Mike, has he been on that all year? He's been on the post-game show on 38?
I don't know, but it was interesting. It might have been someone else. I'm pretty sure it was Borges, but
okay.
I could be wrong. In the fact that he said, you know, he was sick of Brady whining to the officials, and, you know...
Sounds like Borges.
What?
Sounds like Borges there.
Yeah. And if you take a look at it, you know, Brady was whining to the officials, and, you know, Patriots fans sort of have to, in some ways, eat crow right now, because for the exact same reasons that the Peyton Manning whines to the officials, you know, we were whining to the officials.
Well, that's true, but there was a lot of talking going on.
I was going to say, Mike,
somebody had to speak.
You're sounding like a rational fan. And
Fred
won't have any of that.
That's right. But there was a lot going on that field.
Well, would you disagree that there was a lot of yapping going on down there?
I would disagree.
Brady, yeah, I absolutely think there was. Would you disagree with Mike though, in that Brady does a lot of complaining to the officials?
Yeah, well, he does absolutely.
Okay.
He's the captain.
He's
got to speak up. With that, he's the leader on that field. He's got to speak up.
And that's
for his
what
team.
You used to say about Peyton Manning. I remember
Peyton
when I
Manning
got here.
Just whines to himself.
Oh, okay.
You know, Brady has something to say to the officials.
Sometimes. Yeah, I get confused.
That
I
mean, guy had the audacity to touch me. You better throw a flag on him.
When Wes Welker gets mugged, somebody has to stand up.
I think
for him.
That what
you mean, like
things,
Marcus Pollard,
right?
When he gets mugged.
One of the things about the NFL nowadays is every incomplete pass is immediately followed by the receiver and the quarterback immediately whining about getting held.
I agree with that.
Or interfered with, and it's tiresome.
It is. You know, every time a guy misses a ball. Hands are up while he's on the ground. You know.
It's also when Brady gets touched, when he slides, when he gets hit after he throws. Anytime a play involves Brady, he has something to say afterwards.
How many times do you see it?
It is who he is. David Ortiz does the same thing in baseball. The Red Sox fans will take the good and the bad.
Sure.
It's just a little annoying. They get away with it because they're good. Dustin Pedroia does it. People make fun of him because he's a little twerp and he's not that good.
Mike, what else?
The other thing I want to talk about is in the past 2 weeks, we've really seen that football is a game of inches. I mean, you saw the quarterback in Baltimore almost get hit like 20 times, and he was almost sacked. Literally, if they'd gotten there a second earlier, it would have been a sack instead of a completed pass. And you saw it in the other game with the defensive backs literally had their hands almost on the ball, and if they had been there a second earlier, it would have been a deflected pass, incomplete.
I thought
that was interesting.
Well, the ball that Bowler threw for an interception, he threw it short because he was on his back foot and he was under heavy pressure. You know, he just didn't get enough behind it because he was really under pressure. So you could call that a pressure, you know, play. It was caused by the Patriots' pressure.
And 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Well, no, I think he had the wind at that time.
And reading his comments, he just said he misread the whole play.
He said I threw it on my back foot. I didn't get enough behind it.
I thought he said he just badly misread the play and underthrew the ball.
He said he underthrew it. He's on his back foot, and you could see if you look at the play, he was about to get hit. You could see the play, right? All right, that's Mike from Sharon.
Thanks for the intelligent call, Mike.
Yeah, Fred doesn't like it,
but we appreciate it. That's a rarity for us.
You're
taking shots at the callers.
We ask for food and then take shots at
them? No.
I think you guys do a tremendous job with the calls, the emails. You're the best.
I kid.
Especially Vinny.
Vinny. Jeez. He's a multiple lunch buyer.
Vinny should be working instead of us. He's a great guy.
All right, so how was that locker room?
Who's
the locker room? Though?
Dan Copen having his way with Randy Moss at the Domino Show.
Killing.
And then Randy
Moss. Call the National. Yes.
Yeah,
call the National Guard.
But we're on the radio, Fred. If you mouth it to me.
I know.
The listeners don't get. We can say F you, right?
Yeah.
F you, Copen. Because Copen was really mocking him.
You go with the F bomb there.
Okay, F bomb. But Copen got up and said, "Yeah, Moss, why don't you go catch some balls?" To which Paul and I said, "Well, if he caught a few more in recent weeks, the games would have been decided by more than
a little bit of a sensitive subject." I think Copen should have let, you know, a little more time go by.
But it's example 147C of the ridiculous chemistry on this team.
It's good. It's good to see.
This is a very tight-knit team.
Yeah.
Also learned yesterday, speaking of chemistry, when CJ
Jones
bumped into Ryan O'Callaghan, he said, "Hey, Dorito." Apparently CJ Jones' nickname is Dorito.
We knew that.
We did?
Yeah, we knew that in training camp because there was something else with Kelvin Kite that had something along the lines of Doritos, and you were making a big deal about one guy being called Dorito and the other guy being called Enchilada or something. It was you that was going on about it, so you.
That
just
is the kind of thing
it.
That would
I really
intrigue you.
Do talk a lot and don't remember it.
Yeah, that is the kind of thing that would intrigue you. It involves a lot of your favorite stuff: food, Mexican food. I mean, come on.
Because when you did the thing with Calvin Kite, the Getting to Know,
yep.
He had a similar type nickname. It wasn't Dorito. And then we found out C.J. Jones was called Dorito, and you were making a big joke about how blah, blah, blah.
Well, I walked by the weight room today on my way into the locker room, and they're blaring out Johnny Cash.
Did you get a little workout in?
You know, the blaring, and it's just this country music thing seems to be another trend that they've
got
going.
Matt Light.
Yeah.
You know?
It's light, and some of the – I think that's what happens. If you're a guy who just says, I'm going to play my music – you know, most people don't complain. They just go about their business. So once you get three or four guys, if they like country.
But they're on the plane singing it.
Yeah.
It's
like, the chemistry.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The booze. what did Mel Kiper say about running backs?
Oh, well, he.
To you. He said it to Andy.
You know, when he called you at home personally.
Well, after he asked me how the family was and we got, you know, got back in touch a little bit, we talked about running backs, and I said McFadden. He doesn't think McFadden's anywhere near as good as Peterson,
right.
First of all, which is pretty much everyone says that. He's also generally opposed to drafting a running back high. He thinks you can get a guy. And I said, I think Bill agrees, because Sammy Morris was the best running back on this team, and he just got him.
Yeah, I don't know about the first part. I totally agree with the second part.
Okay. I don't know what that means. But anyway,
I'll get to it later.
The McFadden thing, I said, now, is he NFL ready? Because I said, with Maroney, there's talk about pass protection and all this. He can't get on the field. I said, Cedric Cobbs came from there, and everybody talked about it was an archaic offense, and he wasn't going to be ready to contribute. He knew nothing about the passing game, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, let's set this straight. If you draft a guy that high at running back, you don't really drafting him to pass protect or catch the ball out of the backfield. You're drafting him to catch
run.
The ball, I mean, to run the ball 25, 30 times a game, be Adrian Peterson, and control your offense by running the ball. And I just thought that was interesting with all this. Well, Maroney can't get on the field because he can't
pass. That's one of my bigger arguments.
If he was rushing 25 times for $1.50, he'd be on the field.
Right. Bill didn't draft him to be the next Kevin Fall.
Right.
That's
drafted
not
him
why
to
he's
be
here.
That's true.
Adrian Peterson of his year.
No, the only, I was just saying with the stuff that Kiper said, I would agree. I don't like taking running backs that
high
either, because I do think you can get them.
Is that when they drafted Maroney, they didn't have the type of offense that they have now. Now, you know, when you're going to pass on every down and spread it out, you have to have Falk there.
But
the
point is, if he's a 1,500-yard back, they're going to have him on the field rushing for 1,500 yards.
You mean like Edgerrin James and Joseph Addai?
Right,
is that what you're talking about?
So let me ask you this, Fred, hold on. Let's say that
they
had
excuses.
Let's just fast
forward.
That
was my point of this whole thing.
Let's fast forward 2 years. If they don't, they're picking 23rd. It was 23rd Maroney was picked?
21st, wasn't it?
21. Okay, they're picking 21. All right. This coming draft, and they have Heath Evans and Kevin Falk as your running backs. Okay? So no Sammy Morris, and we know Corey Dillon's gone.
Right.
Okay? Would they take him at 23? 21, rather?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
Because they have a different type of offense.
So you're saying they wouldn't draft a running back? They wouldn't have been interested in him because of this offense?
Yeah, I think they would
disagree.
Have.
I totally disagree.
I think they would have
that.
Gone with, a, you know, maybe a defensive player or something like that, linebacker or whatever. They would have gotten a running back later
in the draft. I think they have this offense the way it is because they don't have a running game.
And I hate to tell you this, Fred, but I saw this offense
No, they
last
have the
year.
Offense they have now because Stallworth was available and they got Moss.
I think if they could run the ball in a conventional way, they would be a balanced offense like they were in 04.
Didn't they start using this offense quite a bit last year at the end of the season because they couldn't run the football?
They use it quite frequently over the years.
That's when he was hurt. So, I mean,
it's just been more productive this year.
Yeah, because they have better players.
The style of passing game in the attack may have changed. Like, this might be some subtleties. They may get the ball downfield more often with Moss.
Right, because of Randy Moss.
They may do some things, but the five wides, the four wides, and the empty backfield sets have been in play in New England for five, 6 years.
I know, but they're doing it more often now.
I don't
than
think
ever.
They are.
No.
I just think
the difference
they do it
is it's not Daniel Graham and Heath Evans lined up
better.
Out there. It's Wes Welker
and they're
Randy
not throwing,
Moss.
They're not throwing, the 3 yard passes are now 43
right.
yard
right.
passes.
Right. In 2001, in the second half at the Meadowlands, in a game that they were trailing the Jets 13-0 at the half, I saw it for an entire 30 minutes against the Jets. Empty backfields. The only thing is Mark Edwards was one of the guys spread out wide.
It's. That's the only difference, Fred, is there's playmakers out there now.
And Fred,
I agree with that.
Would you just agree with this, that if they had a back that could run for 1,500 yards, do you think he would be out there more than Maroney?
Absolutely. Okay. I agree with that.
That's the point. And
that's
you
why I'm
the
saying
guy that high to rush for 1,500 yards.
Now, you don't know what you're going to get out of Maroney, but he's coming out of the draft now as he was 2 years ago. I think that they're interested in him, and I think they take him, regardless of how productive the offense was without a running game.
Maybe not.
It's a hype. I mean, it's the land of make-believe. I know. It doesn't matter. It's just opinion.
I think, you know, if they were completely honest, they would say, he may not have been as good as we thought he was.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's how
they're completely honest. They have to say that at absolute minimum.
You know?
I would think so.
And maybe he, you know, maybe it's been injuries. Maybe he turns it around.
May be some mitigating factors. Yeah. No question.
I'm not ready to just throw the dirt on him and say, you know, that's it for Lawrence Maroney. The only point is what you said. I feel like what the coaching staff would say, he hasn't quite been as good as we thought he was going to be.
Right. And it could be a lot, like you said, there could be a lot of factors. You know,
or as good as Sammy Morris.
You know, maybe he'll.
It is what it is. The numbers.
You know, come into his own at the end of the season, maybe next season, but. It's getting to that point now where you have to start saying, okay, it's
got to start showing
beyond
something.
The point of circumstances. You know, now we have to start seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Randy Moss was selected as the offensive player of the month for November.
3-month sweep for the Patriots so far.
Pretty amazing.
Now, did you talk to Moss, Andy?
I did not.
Okay. I didn't know who you were. I know that you've been talking to everybody.
Well, I know you didn't talk to him in the locker room. I just was wondering if he called you last night.
Well, you guys go out for coffee.
One last thing on the Kuiper thing. I chuckled again because when I pick up the phone and it says Melvin Kuiper, I was laughing because I never think of his name as Melvin.
Jesus, the guy attacks naked Logan Mankins in the locker room. Now he thinks he's a superstar.
Well, when you're tight with Mel Kuiper, that puts you in a certain social circle.
Now, is Eric at practice right now? Is practice going
God
on?
Only knows what he's doing.
Because I saw him with a very extensive one-on-one with Wes Welker.
Yes.
So when you say very extensive, do you mean more than 25 minutes?
We should be expecting something big out of Eric.
We've been expecting that since August.
In the newspaper or online.
Eric's sort of the Lawrence Maroney of our staff.
I was going to say, I think it's cute the way Fred still has optimism.
Eric showed early promise and hasn't produced yet.
Oh, boy. Who was the person I brought in? When I brought in Kyle, you hugged me, Tom. Because, you know.
Yeah,
I hugged you because I didn't have to do the updates anymore. And if it was between me and Eric, I say Eric's doing a hell of a job.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you should play him up, help him out.
He's providing a service.
Make sure that he performs well.
I have no idea.
So that you don't have to do those updates again.
I don't know who he's servicing.
I've talked to him a number of different
somebody.
Times and given him some opinions and ideas. He doesn't really care for them.
Eric, are you talking about Eric?
Remember those
care for? He doesn't listen. Flat out doesn't listen.
Remember those Friday things that you liked that
probably
I used to do?
Doesn't need to be talked about on the show.
Remember the Friday things that I used to do that you liked, and Eric did them for 2 weeks and stopped because he didn't feel like he didn't like doing them. And
he didn't get to put any fancy fonts.
It's Eric way or no way.
Marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Yep. Doesn't listen. Does not take direction.
You know what I said about Bryant Gumbel a little while ago? Very much true with Eric.
What did you say? Refresh me?
You could still do those Friday things.
He hears the criticism. He just doesn't
think
you're as smart as he is.
Right.
Maybe I'll start him up again.
There's a lot of Bryant Gumbel in there.
But I had assumed Eric's been doing them. I found out 2 weeks ago that he stopped. So that was the reason I didn't do them.
Okay.
I'll do them next year.
All right.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Well, we have to kick it up for the playoffs. We have to think of some good things to do for the playoffs.
I always come to you with ideas, Fred, and this is what you tell me. Yeah, I'll think about it. I never hear back
What's
from
the last idea you came to
I
me
give
with?
You ideas.
You haven't given
I
me
give
an
you
idea
ideas.
In months.
I give you ideas.
Months.
Because you never respond to them. You just say,
lying your ass off.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. Gary.
Let me know. Let me know what those ideas
are. I can go either way. Which one's the one who's lying?
Yeah, both of them.
I give him some ideas. He doesn't care for them.
He never takes ideas.
Oh,
it's your way or the highway. That's it.
You're like Eric in that way.
You don't want to change anything. You're set in your ways.
Okay.
You used to
at least you've done something in your life. Eric's Eric.
It's been one of the most enjoyable half hours of this show in my history on the show. I'm not involved in any of this.
Okay, we just transformed the whole website. I don't change anything.
You didn't change nothing. The website looks the same to me. I was just actually going to say you spend too much time worrying about what the website looks like.
No one said you didn't change.
What am I remissing? What am I not paying attention to?
What was that word?
Remissing.
The paper?
No.
It's a problem with the paper?
Paper's
no
fine.
Problems with the paper, Fred.
No problem with the paper?
Paper's fine.
Doing
fine.
You don't need to be taking any more.
What am I not paying attention to?
My salary.
He got that right.
If he did, it would be cut.
Change, Fred. You said it was your way or no way. That's all. We didn't say you didn't change. So you're changing the website. That's because you wanted to.
I'm very open-minded. When I hear a good idea, I go right at it.
God.
You know? I'm very open-minded.
That Rex Grossman hit is gross.
Always willing to try new things and take risks. Because if you those people who don't fail, We'll never see how good they can be.
Yeah, and you admit when you make a mistake, like with the blog thing, you said we should have had it for the combine.
Okay.
Remember when you said we didn't need it, and then when we got back, you said we should have had the blog.
Like, yeah, and we will next year.
Oh, yeah, that'll be actually, I think, the best time to have the blog, because Andy and I will get stuff that nobody on earth has.
And I can write Lane Kiffin. No chance.
See,
I saw Lane Kiffin in the hallway.
I like that's one thing with Fred, though, that I did like, is the blog for special things.
Yes.
Like the combine, the draft, the, you know,
that's really worked out well.
Mini camps and things like that. I think that's really worked.
You know,
now we give you a reason to go there.
Stuff with a lot of information coming out fast, they work well with.
Yes.
For everyday things, it's a waste of time.
I agree.
And the combine stuff, like when you talk to someone and they mention, well, we just talked with the Patriots before, we'd have to wait till we get back to the room.
Right.
Put it in a, now we can just, boom, go up, and there you go. We all make sure you guys check out that. We'll have nonstop updates throughout the combine.
Combine.
Now, the only issue we'll have is
the prop plane. This.
Fred, speaking of coverage in the future here. What do you think?
Should this be done on air?
Paul would not like to work on Sunday.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul, get the weekends off.
Can I get weekends off?
And every other Monday?
What do you think in terms of we could have a lot of Pro Bowlers. Is it worth having
sending us to the
there?
Pro Bowl?
I don't want to go, Fred. Send these two.
I mean, I'm not necessarily. I mean, look, it's going to be a week after we get back.
It's a long flight.
We're going to be getting back from Arizona on a Monday, and then having.
We're already in the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't. I mean, since Andy and I said they were going 16-0 after week two, I think I can go on a limb, and people think. I think people know what I think. I don't know. We could have 8-10 Pro Bowlers.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
We'll let the TV guys do it.
That's a good place to build relationships too. I can hang out with Bill by
the
pool.
Well, here's the thing.
I see it being a waste of money.
Here's the Tom, you don't have to go. That's okay. I'm not necessarily looking forward to, you know, getting back from Arizona on a Monday and hopping a plane to Hawaii on a Wednesday either, but I think it is a week that you get unfettered access that you never do. But we might be able to, we can get by with the TV. I'm sure that the TV folk will be there, right?
It could be.
Now, do they get unfettered access? Like, or like, would you get that same
unfettered?
They
were supposed to get some stuff to us last year.
Like, would you guys get
it? No, Tom's point is, did they give them stuff that they wouldn't give us?
Yeah,
and I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I remember sitting down to a pre-dinner with Bill Belichick once at the Combine, and it was the most uncomfortable 25 minutes of my life.
And as Tom would say, I don't know what fettered mean, but I don't think that was unfettered.
All right.
No, seriously, what does fettered mean? Limited?
Unlimited and no, you know, he had his guard down for one of the few times. I got to tell you, I learned more about Bill at that off the stuff that I watched in the Pro Bowl last year than I did.
Well, he was in a good mood. He had just signed to Dallas Thomas.
All right, Web Radio at Patriots.com. Let's get to some emails, shall we? Quijo, I think. I was amazed when my email was read during your program and impressed my wife a lot. She's also a big Pats fan. Thanks a lot. Keep the good work coming. I may sponsor lunch someday when I get to New England. Why do you guys think a lot of people don't like the Patriots? It's not true. A lot of noisy people don't like the Patriots. Most of the real Pats fans are not vociferous and clamorous. Even Tony Kornheiser really thought the Pats can go 16-0 in July, so he really was not rooting for the Pats to lose on Monday, but was doing something else that we will have to ask him to explain. P.S. I muted my TV during Monday night game.
That's why you don't think he was rooting against the Patriots.
People hate the Patriots. It doesn't matter. I don't know about Kornheiser. I'm
when
just
you're
talking
the best.
About people in general.
Yeah, I think when you're the clear-cut best in anything, people generally don't like you.
I relish it.
And Bill rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, that's part of it. But I think when you're at the top of your profession in any sport, I think it's natural for neutral people to not want you to win.
I have a buddy who's
don't buy that for 1 minute.
Well, I have an acquaintance.
He has a buddy?
Yeah, I have an acquaintance who's a big Jet fan, but he doesn't even hate the Patriots because of that. He can't take it anymore. Maybe the guy's losing his mind. He said he doesn't care if the Jets don't win a game for two more years as long as the Patriots don't go undefeated this year. So I think that's what it's doing to fans of other teams. It's just this team's so good. I was that way with the Niners. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take watching Joe Montana.
Hold on, I got a bulletin. I got a bulletin. The NFL's senior vice president of officiating agreed with the calls made by the officials on Monday night.
Of course extending
their streak to 27 consecutive years where every call was made correctly.
Right.
Just wanted to get that in there.
It was a very well officiated game for the last quarter. The first three quarters, there were too many non-calls.
Maybe Fred's the VP of officiating.
I would like
Jesus.
To do that.
You never know what he's got
I would
his
like
hands
to do that. You sounded like Dudek when you said that. I would like to do that.
By the way, we talked about it yesterday. The Patriots thing on the bottom line, that fuels into why people hate.
Well,
no, the 31 other NFL teams don't want to look up and see.
Fred said that
NHL,
yesterday.
MLB, NFL,
right. Patriots.
I can't tell you how giddy I was to see it again today because I was thinking like yesterday
we actually saw it on the air. It was a little embarrassing.
I was
embarrassing.
Thinking like yesterday was maybe it was a 1 day thing, but they have it on today again.
And sports,
that's great.
I thought it was just ESPN News.
No.
They have it on ESPN too.
Yes, that scroll
it's
is
all ESPN.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Sucks, but me.
I love it.
I watched it last night.
Ridiculous.
On the Deuce, I believe I was watching some college basketball game.
Is that unprecedented? Has any other team had that?
Oh, it's never happened before.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable.
Much like everything else, Fred.
Yeah.
Patriots are the first and only.
You got it.
It's true.
Let's see. Dagmar.
They invented the game, you know.
Dagmar says he's Cuban.
It's changed a lot over the last 100 years, though.
Cuban?
He's Cuban, and he lives in Miami. He's a Patriots fan. Right now, he's at work listening to the broadcast through his computer with earphones. About the Sunday, I think Bill Belichick will be giving his players a bit of confidence all week long. I think Bill has found a way to use every player and his skills to balance his offense and defense. Now is the time when people see guys like Gaffney stand up and come up with key plays. Typical Belichick game plan. Everyone is important. Sorry for my English. Actually, Dagmar, your English is better than most of our writers.
One of the best.
I was going to say that was an almost impeccable English. Right?
When you said most of our writers, did you mean emailers or
emailers.
Your staff?
Well, both, actually.
Both.
So that's
well done,
Dagmar from Miami via Cuba. So that's really nice. Diane from Bridgeport, Connecticut. We keeping you up, Tom? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What?
Tired?
Is today new emailer day?
And we do seem to have some new names.
Never heard of the Cuban guy. Never heard of this woman.
We ask our regular emails.
Step aside.
On a strategic Friday, we always like.
Isn't Bridgeport a ritzy community? No. Apparently, the opposite according to Paul.
Anyway, I'm sure every town has its nice areas.
Not Lowell.
Yeah, except Lowell.
Actually, this was to John. I don't know how it got into me, so I'm not going to read it.
Okay. That's why she's a new... Cause
but her point is that...
She's a cerebral. She's a John Rook fan.
She likes crap.
She's a cerebral fan.
But
Reed
I'll get to her
Homer.
Point. Maybe see if you disagree or agree. He says that everyone is saying the Patriots are tired. Steelers should be tired, too, after playing two tough games in bad weather.
Not the same thing, Fred. The Patriots played on Monday night on the road, and the Steelers had their two games at home. Plus, the Patriots were in dogfights. I mean, the Steelers don't have the mental pressure that the Patriots do to stay undefeated. I think it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And I know the Miami game was close because of the rain and everything, but those games just didn't go the same way, I don't think. I thought that the Eagles played a phenomenal football game, and I thought that was a well-played game, and I thought the Ravens were much more physical than we all thought they were going to be and really took it to the Patriots. Plus, that last one being on the road and being on a short week on the end of three in a row, I think makes a big difference.
Plus, okay. Bill said, we're a tired football team. Yeah. We need to find a way to get some energy
And he
back.
Wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding.
And it wasn't because
wasn't because of the hour of the day, which is how he tried
the
to
only,
sort of
the way that
yesterday.
Time played into that is he may have said something that under his own state of mind, right
sure.
mind, wouldn't have said.
Exactly. That's
he
what
got
it was.
Caught up there a little bit, was a little too honest, and realized it when he flipped the paper open the next day and every single story said, we're a tired football team.
Bill said,
so ridiculous.
Damn, I make one mistake in
you
10
slip
years.
Up once,
well,
these guys, they get
you. There you go. But Diane does have an email to us, and she says that the USA Today has assembled a group of former NFL coaches to seek the way of to beat the Patriots. And so she says now Belichick and Tom Terrific and the Patriots are not only playing against the Steelers, they're playing against a group of coaches, and as I see in the Blitz, a Moss insider who reveals his personal likes and dislikes. Given that Tomlin is probably going to get advice from Cowher, whether he wants it or not, who is the real underdog here? This game and the rest of the season can now easily be seen as the Patriots against the world of football. What a challenge. What an opportunity for personal growth. Patriots 34, Steelers 24.
Well, first
of all,
that's
my score.
I don't think Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher have spoken all season. There's no way that he's calling Bill Cowher and saying, excuse me, how should we beat the Patriots? And I can definitely
first of all, how would Cowher know?
Right. And I can guarantee you, coaches aren't reading the USA Today to find out what, you know.
The only thing I'd ask is, what have either of you guys seen? What's the list? Who are the guys?
Well, I mean,
I'm always interested
certainly
in some
Pittsburgh.
Of that stuff.
Pittsburgh is the real underdog. I mean, let's say what like it is. They're three games behind them in the standings, and
they're on the road where they haven't
played
well.
They're on the road, and they're playing a team that they don't have a very good track record against. You know, Pittsburgh against Belichick is, in my opinion, my recollection is won once, and that was the Halloween game that snapped the winning streak.
Yeah, And if you want to, if you want to know how much coaches listen to other people and other things, and they don't have egos. Watch if they play the Cowboys again. See if Wade Phillips changed anything from the first time around. Guarantee it's the exact same defense the first time, because people in this league, we've said it over and over again, don't change. They, as Bill says a lot, they do what they do.
Another first-time writer, Samantha from Buffalo.
The women are coming out of the woodwork. I made a call for it the other day. I thought all our women left us.
I think that, you know,
Cali girl called.
You know what's going on? That they see the other girls like me, and they that they want me. And they,
still now waiting for that one girl to admit she likes you.
Now, now all the women.
I haven't heard that
up.
Either, Andy. That's a good point.
Funny, I've heard you say it a lot,
Chelsea. You call up and tell
you know
everyone
who you are?
That you want me.
You're the Lawrence Maroney. I can run the ball. I can run the ball. You can't keep a star down.
Shining.
I haven't seen you run the ball. I haven't
can't
seen
keep a star from shining.
She says, I'm Sam. I'm a dedicated female listener. I've been for 2 years now.
Wow.
I want to say I love the show. You guys do a great job. You always give me something to laugh about. Tell Craig to call more often because I miss making fun of him and his stupid comments.
Not all that in a bag of chips.
Moving on to the Patriots. I firmly believe they are going to win this week. I haven't decided if it's going to be a blowout or not. I just hope they win so the Steelers can shove a sock in it. Being from Buffalo, I get to see them play the Bills. I was happy to see so many Patriots fans at the game this year. Really felt like a home game when the sulking, drunk Bills fans left after the first half. Keep up the good work. Don't stop being a-holes. I love it. Screw the British.
Yeah.
I hate the British, too.
Their highbrow comedy. Ha, ha, ha.
Speaking,
hey,
of,
speaking
highbrow,
of highbrow.
Highbrow.
All right, you do seem
head.
To walk in at the perfect time every day.
I know what I'm doing. That's why
Eric the Leg. Is here.
I heard tell that
you don't know what you're doing
Tom
based
Casale
on the first half hour.
Evil things to say about me earlier in the show.
I did. Pretty much everybody here was ripping you for about a half hour.
Was this from Chris Ferreira,
including
yes.
Fred?
First of all,
wait, hang on a second.
Why would you ever take a message from
yes.
him and assume that it didn't get scrambled? You know, six ways to Sunday.
Well, because he was talking about this show and ripping, and I know that that's all that goes on this show. So
of
I had
course,
to
but it wasn't just
it
was Tom.
Ripped.
But of course,
well,
you
Fred
know that
Fred started it.
But listen, hang on.
Fred started it.
Did he?
I might have.
No, listen,
you might have.
Chris Ferreira.
He didn't, but he just admitted to it.
Chris Ferreira, you are a gutless little bitch. Your wife owned you. You got mad yesterday because we tried to call you on the show. Look down, pick up your nuts, and shut the hell up. I don't want you talking about me in that office because you're an idiot. Okay, now
he can't look down and see his nuts because they're in Lowell in his wife's back pocket.
Fitchburg. Oh. Fitchburg.
Whatever.
Okay, so what's your problem?
I don't even know what we were talking about.
We had all kinds of problems with you. I don't
Why?
Even know where to
what's
start.
The matter?
Oh, we were talking about the Friday.
Oh, this is how we started. We were ripping your 45-minute marathon with Wes Welker.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
My 45-minute I had to wait 35 minutes for that
you
other guy with the ponytail
days.
To get away from it. 2 days. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, but he's
and
in
I
town
still haven't gotten my Pro Bowl question in.
But Alex Marvez, I believe that's who it is in town one day from Miami. You're always here, and you've been lingering around that locker for days now.
What are you talking to him
You
about?
Made Wes uncomfortable. He told me.
Yeah. He had to get a restraining order, I think.
He did.
Why, when you were
he said
humping
that
him like Logan Mankins yesterday?
Oh, see now, should I go upstairs and tell Chris Ferreira that you were ripping Andy?
You should, yeah.
That's the right. general nature of how we were ripping you. And I don't want to deny it. We were ripping you pretty good.
Leave Chris alone. I'm sure
that's what we do.
No, I'm sure he's on the phone asking forgiveness from his wife for something.
You want to take shots? I want to take shots back.
Yeah, but you only got one with me.
Shots.
You've been working this Logan Mankins thing.
That
like,
that's all I got for now. That's all I got right now.
It's a good angle. Shot back.
It's a good angle.
Tom and I are going to ride it right through.
Thank
no
you.
Question.
The perception is that you don't like people giving you advice.
Is that perception accurate?
That you're too pompous to take
wait,
advice.
Hold on.
That you
let
think
me,
you're smarter
address,
than all of us. Tell us the truth. You think you're better than us.
I mean, come on. That's self.
There you go. There you go. Okay? That's why I compared you to Brian Goble.
One of the things I heard from Chris Ferreira was that you didn't. You gave me an advice for a Friday column on the
no,
website.
No, the thing that Fred likes.
The keys to the game.
I do that every Friday.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I've been doing it since you told me
Did
about it.
Did you get
you
burned
moron?
By the Ferreira-ism? Did he tell you that that's what
no,
he wasn't
I couldn't,
doing?
No, I couldn't find it on the
got
side.
He got burned by the, Fred's by website.
Then I apologize, and I didn't see it.
I apologize 1,000 times.
I accept
I don't.
Apology.
I meant everything
well,
I said.
Wow. You're an upstanding
well,
individual,
I still
Tom,
think you think you're better than everybody.
So, yes,
I stand
I said
by
it was
that.
I just said it was smarter.
I stand by that.
I actually was going through the website, and I didn't see it
the
last Friday.
I am.
For 8 months.
I am. Did you hear this? I am.
Been highlighting that same page in Reagan for
not the same page.
Years.
I'm in 1983.
Eric, I should say that I barely ever go to our website.
Well, I don't blame you because it's hard to find anything on there.
Oh,
press shift F5 and it's fine.
See that, Fred? I couldn't even find his stuff.
All right, Rich in Atlanta's on the phone. Rich, how you doing?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you?
Good,
Rich.
Hey, I have a question about the San Francisco draft pick. you go on the website, and instead of teams are tied, it goes to the strength of schedule of their opponents. And my question is it the opponent that has all the opponents that have the weakest schedule or the strongest? You know, winning the best winning percentage or the worst winning percentage? Who goes first?
It would be the weaker one, because that would be obviously make you a worse team if you couldn't win more games with an easier schedule than a team that had a tougher schedule. Right. So it works in reverse. Yeah,
that's what I sort of thought. But then after that, do they automatically then just flip-flop in reverse order?
Through the rest of the draft?
Through the rest of the draft, correct.
Right.
In other words, if Frisco was number two this year, and then they would say there were, you know, four teams all tied.
Yes.
Then the fifth team would become number two, and number two would be number five.
Yeah, they rotate through the rest of the draft.
Perfect. Yeah.
But that wouldn't affect the Patriots because they only have
pick once.
They have San Francisco's first pick.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I've been Googling, I've been trying to find it everywhere, and I just couldn't get an answer, so I figured I'd trust you guys.
Well, you came to the right place.
It's going
to
end up being somewhere in the top five. I can't imagine it going.
What in God's name are you doing?
Look
Andy?
At those.
Andy Hart
legs.
Is like pulling his leg
Jesus.
Out, showing his chicken legs.
I can't imagine it going any lower than five, though,
oh
Rich.
God.
Yeah, as it stands right now, I think it's number two, correct?
No, I don't think it's number
two. I don't know that.
It is. Frisco's got the week so far.
It is number two. Right now it's
tied.
Number two. Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't think it was that high.
That's exciting.
Okay. No, so far, so good. Well, listen, thanks a lot. I'm down here in Atlanta, so there's no pro football. So I listen to you guys all the time. I'm an ex-season ticket holder up there. And
great.
This year I've been to I was fortunate enough I got to the Indy game, the Miami game, and the Dallas game. So,
excellent. Wow.
Sounds
so
like you still got season tickets.
Saw two of the best three games of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Then I had tickets for the Baltimore game, but I had a conflict, so I had to get them.
Oh, you would have seen another good one.
I know. So maybe I'm the good luck charm. So, well, listen, thanks a lot. I really enjoy your show, and we'll talk to you soon, huh?
All right.
Good luck at that one or two ways. When you're not there, they blow people out.
Well,
when you're there, they struggle to win.
Maybe he should just stay
away. That
wasn't
Rich McKay, was it?
No.
No, okay.
Wow. That would have been huge if it were, Fred.
Well, why don't you come to the gym with me? That's disgusting.
Seriously. Put your pants down.
Andy's got his legs up with his pants rolled up, and he's just like, I don't know, massaging himself in front of us. I don't know. What the hell are you doing?
Let me put you through a leg workout. Come on.
I haven't done legs in years.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely terrible.
Man.
So how was practice?
Uneventful.
Uneventful.
Rashad Baker was the only one that wasn't
there. Cry yourself to sleep tonight?
Yeah.
It was a typical Friday.
Indoors
uppers.
Or outdoors?
Indoors.
Indoors. Okay. Now, they're expecting bad weather for Sunday. It's a chance of sleet and snow with highs in the upper 20s.
Mm-hmm. Well, the practice fields are in no condition to play on, though. Too much ice and slipperiness, so they pretty much have to be inside.
Why don't they go right in the dome? Why not in the dome? In the bowl?
I think there's some work going on out there, actually.
Really?
Yeah, something's going on.
We're building
on
more than I thought with that mall out there. Evidently, we got a dome now.
Yeah, went out there late yesterday, and there were people with not two by fours, but plywood boards and stuff.
Doing something out there
near midfield. I don't know what they were doing, but
well, weather could be a factor, so I'm a little concerned about that.
It looks like, by the way, just a quick follow up on yesterday talking about O'Callaghan with the red jersey. It's probably just a scout team thing. I didn't want anyone to get the wrong idea that we were saying he was injured. I don't think he's injured. He's not injured. He looks
like
he's participating.
They got to you, didn't they?
No, I'm just assuming that.
I'm only kidding.
No, I'm just – that was just – just wanted to clear that up in case anybody was wondering.
All right. Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota writes in. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The NFL is a corporation worth several billions of dollars.
Hang on.
What's going on? The phone's ringing. Phone's ringing. Something's
happening.
Who
are we talking
here.
To over here?
What's going on?
We're calling somebody.
Dan has called someone.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Chris Ferreira.
What a gutless,
he is
gutless man.
Because
he
knows,
it's him. He knows it's him.
What a gutless man you are, Chris Ferreira.
Tom first when you go postal.
Getting back to Alejandro, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The NFL is a corporation worth several billions of dollars with a lucrative TV contract and a TV network of his own. Yet, all they could afford to do the play-by-play is Bryant freaking Gumbel. Can anyone be so cheap this side of Chris Ferreira? That guy.
Does
well-timed.
It really say that?
Oh,
it really says
great.
That?
Well-timed.
Oh, Chris, you moron.
That guy is just painful to hear. It's like a painful – it's
Just like it's painful to watch that Tony Romo smirk, he doesn't help you follow the game in any way because he's too afraid to say a pass was incomplete or a player was down by contact. Anyone could do a better job than that chump. Do you know if Pat Summerall is still on the piss? What does that mean? Okay, my question.
He's a big boozer.
Has he been on the piss dead?
You're a boozer?
Well, they had a
I never heard that before.
One of those interjections for him.
Interjections?
Interventions.
What is wrong with you?
He made up a word. Interjection.
What else am I remissing? He said earlier. I mean,
I wasn't sure if that was a word or not. I know interjection is.
Am I remiss?
That's a word.
Yeah. Has anybody in
the locker room?
Has anyone in the locker
room? You showed resiliency there, Fred.
Has anybody in the locker room given Junior Seau a hard time because of that McGahee play?
I'm sure.
I'm sure the players have.
Yeah, yeah. I think not in front of us.
He would have won Dancing with the Stars with that play.
Oh, yeah. Good line, Fred.
When you say anyone, it's not like we're walking by him going, "Hey, nice tackle, Junior."
Right. Exactly.
With defensive player, which defensive player is better fitted to spy Ben Roethlisberger, considering his size and mobility? I don't remember what they did to contain Romo.
I don't think you'll spy him. It's more of the contained rush off the edge, try to keep him in the pocket.
They didn't do nothing to contain
him. He's not
Romo.
A guy looking to run 20 times
they're
a game.
Not fearing
he's not
him
Michael
getting,
Vick.
Yeah, they're not fearing him getting down the line.
He wants to get out
field.
Of the pocket, throw on the run, keep plays alive. So
I mean,
he can do that. Spy is wasted.
That's
because while you're
he
mirroring
plays
him.
Alive.
But, you know, if you line up a spy, then all that spy is doing is mirroring him. And then when he gets outside of the pocket, if the spy comes up to try and get him, he's throwing the ball by then. So there's no. It's not Michael Vick. It's not a spy situation.
Yeah. I mean, he's capable of getting yards on the ground, but teams aren't necessarily worried about that.
It's
happening.
His last-ditch effort. Right. I mean, if everything else fails, then he runs. And he can beat you. He can make some plays, but he's not looking to.
You would hope it would be a Dallas Thomas, though, if anyone was going to try to get to him from the outside rush.
Right. Well, my guess is Vrabel and Thomas are being told, controlled rush, keep in the pocket, mm-hmm. just don't let him get outside you, that kind of thing.
Okay. Phil in Austin, last week I kept feeling worse about the Ravens game as the week went on. This week I started with the same feeling, but now I feel like Brady and Moss are going to rip the secondary apart. Back to normal this Sunday, 42-17 Patriots. Have the Patriots coaches been a little slow to adjust to the way the last two games have been called, meaning should the Patriots corners be playing more bump and hold if the officials are letting the other team do that to the Patriots? And in response to the guy who complained about your saying, see you next Tuesday, I think he should Fred Ulysses Charles Kirsch himself. I like that. Very good.
I think it took you a while to figure it out, however.
Yes, it did.
are your middle names Ulysses and Charles, by the way?
What?
What's your middle name?
That would be good.
What's your middle name?
You should change it.
Steven?
Yeah.
You should change it. You should change it, Fred.
Okay.
For Ellis Hobbs to bump and hold somebody, he'd have to first cut down the 15-yard cushion and get in the same area code.
Oh, that's what he's suggesting. Maybe they get a little closer.
To do that, he's going to find his shoes because Rashad Baker stole them, and he had to wear flip-flops home yesterday. And he talked about that with the media for at least 10 minutes.
Which must have been awfully cold, by the way.
I think that was his point. Frostbite.
Sure it was.
Now he's got an excuse why he won't be anywhere near Heinz Ward.
Doesn't have any extra shoes?
Well, the worst part is his mom sent him Jordans in the mail. My mom just sent him in the mail, like college. Why is your mom buying you shoes? You're an NFL player with this big
a lot of money
thing hanging from your neck that says the third or whatever, and cars where you put your own insignia on them. You can't afford a pair of sneakers?
Plus, he's been driving since like he was two.
Yeah.
He's
got a lot of extra gloves in his locker, too. Maybe that's what he's spending his money on.
What's he like, Willie Mays Hayes?
His gloves haven't touched a ball in 2 years.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't dirty. That was about a football. That was a football comment.
Right. I don't know. Not the way you're
not
going.
Not the glove
weekend.
The guy used before he went.
It wasn't the rubber glove.
Remember that show you couldn't sit right?
I don't know how the 12
undrafted.
Tony in Greenwich, Connecticut.
I love when he throws that one out there.
Randy Moss and Tom Brady.
Tony in Greenwich.
I was going to say I know exactly why they're 12-0.
I was a little concerned about this Sunday's game against the Steelers. As we know, the Pats have looked vulnerable for the first time all year. But all of my concerns went out the window when this kid in the Steelers secondary decides to run his mouth. The Steelers are walking into a hornet's nest. No team plays the disrespect card with the brilliance of the Pats. Also, you guys need to stop piling on Maroney.
The running game has been put on the back burner this year. They have shown no commitment to it whatsoever. Why does the lack of a running game fall on the shoulders of Maroney? Could it be that Belichick doesn't...
He's starting running back, that's why.
What were you thinking? Just hang on a second. When Kevin Fault had his few carries, didn't he look pretty good against Baltimore?
Yep.
Because I know we all said it during that time. Boy, Falk looks better running it. So don't give me the why does it fall on Maroney. You know why? Because every other person that's in that backfield looks good, and except Maroney.
And plus, he's supposed to be the most talented person in that backfield. He's supposed to be the lead back.
And I believe before Sammy Morris got injured in those first few games, they were about 50-50 with their run-to-pass ratio.
And they were successful when they ran.
And they were very successful.
And they were about even
the passing game. But back then, you have to admit, Maroney was...
Even. They were even.
They were even, right, exactly.
Well, that's not supposed to be the way it is. One guy's a first-round pick, the other guy's...
But they were also getting the same amount of carries.
No, but I'm saying the production was the same. Shouldn't you get more out of your first-round pick that you've
kind of had the future of the running game? You can't say that Morris was much better.
I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm saying that the fact that there was no difference
tells
me
there's something wrong. I'm going to say on a per-talent basis or whatever, he was way better.
Why does the lack of... let's see. Could it be that Belichick doesn't think he has the offensive line that can consistently move people off the line of scrimmage? Because he doesn't. This is a good pass-blocking line, but average at best at run-blocking. We've seen that over the last few years. I still believe the more Maroney touches the ball, the better he'll be.
They were gaining 150 yards a game when Morris and Maroney were carrying the ball. That's a pretty good run-blocking offensive line.
Plus, what about when Corey Dillon was putting up 1,600 yards? Was it a bad run-blocking line then?
They had Tom Ashworth then.
So. Oh, stop it.
This is the
bottom line. You're in love with, Andy?
This is the bottom line right here.
We like Ashworth.
Good backs make lines look better. Okay? Right. We always hear when Emmitt Smith didn't play for the Cowboys, that line was average. No back went in there and ran for 100 yards.
Troy Hambrick couldn't do it.
And LT, you don't think LT makes that line look better? Because they get through holes so quickly that not every hole you run through, you can drive a truck through. These guys, they get through the holes, and that's what we're saying about Maroney is he's not getting through those holes quickly. So now you can blame it on the offensive line, you can blame it on this, but how about putting the blame where it belongs?
Christy is in D.C. She says, I heard you wondering yesterday about where I've gone.
Yeah.
But I'm still listening. In fact, I emailed you yesterday, but you never got to it. Perhaps
good
next
job,
time,
Dad.
I'll put naked pics of Christy in D.C. in the subject line.
Yes. Okay.
Put those in the email.
Right. No. Not in the subject line, in the email.
Basically, I was wondering if you think our pass-heavy offense is going to be able to adjust to wintry weather conditions. I'm hoping Moss's recent drops were just an anomaly, but it occurred to me that he has spent most of his career playing in domes and warm weather climates.
Yep.
Do you think Randy can still make those magical catches in January in Foxborough?
Nope.
I never thought I'd see the day when our home field advantage wasn't such an advantage after all, and I'd be hoping for good weather.
They'll be fine.
Is that a concern? Anybody concerned about that?
I'm not concerned about
that. I am.
I
poo-pooed it right until I saw Moss turn into
adjust.
A different guy the last 2 weeks. All year I said, if the ball hits his hands, he's going to catch it. That hasn't been the case the last 2 weeks.
He also had a bad drop in Buffalo.
I'm concerned that Randy
Moss even though he had a big game that night, he did drop the ball. And I haven't seen him drop it all year.
Been a different player.
For the last three games.
And this game kind of goes unnoticed because I don't think people think about it that much. But that NFC Championship game that the Giants killed the Vikings, he flat out stopped playing in that game. And I remember Culpepper, who gave it his all for that entire game, I remember seeing him yelling at Moss, and Moss just kind of putting his hands in his little warmer thing and walking off. So I think there is something to in the past. He hasn't done well in the cold, so that's going to be something to watch. I just think here with Belichick and Brady, they're just not going to allow
when I say I have concerns about it, I don't have concerns about it costing him a win. I have concerns about Moss's production. I think they may have to do it in a different way because I don't think he's going to put 9 for $170 up the way
but
he did so many other
better.
Times. They're just better.
Because
they'll find a way.
Because Stallworth and Welker are better than Caldwell and Get. You know what I mean?
They'll still find a way.
And all
but
it takes
I am,
is you know one time for Moss to get behind
right.
the coverage,
that's
one
it.
Touchdown,
yes.
and then
that
opens
that's
everything.
It.
You
know?
Right. I do think that he is affected by the cold, however.
He seems to be.
P.S. on a side note, Brian Gumbel sucks. last night I watched the game with my friends down here in Redskins country, and the guy has no idea what he's doing. Someone really needs to tell him he's not allowed to use the phrase, it would appear that
it would appear
anymore.
Everything.
Particularly when he's saying it would appear the Redskins have a first
down. Right, I was just going to say
when the guy has a full 10 yards past.
He does that on first downs. You'll see the yellow line and
the
whole
guy's running by it.
Yeah, it appears he got the first down.
Forget when it's within a yard. The guy just runs by it,
and then
he gets
tackled. And then the one time he went out on a limb, he said that the field goal
was
good
and
it wasn't.
That was embarrassing.
Hey, do we know how much going from like one of the previous emails? Do we know how much he makes?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I can't imagine that the NFL got him cheap.
No.
because they were saying that the NFL went cheap and got Bryant Gumbel. I would imagine that he has to be one of the highest paid.
But I don't know
play-by-play guys.
What does a play-by-play guy play? Whatever.
I don't know.
Figures. It's got to be six figures at least.
I was talking six or seven.
Yeah, I'm thinking more.
I was talking about that.
But I don't think Bryant Gumbel is leaving his cushy little life to come back for a pittance. I think that he's taking a lot of money. No, that's a local play-by-play guy. There's a difference.
I'm going to say he worked out a nice deal for himself. Can I ask why?
I'm saying he's Joe Paterno, and he's got a 3% raise since the 30s, and he's up to about 41,000.
Well, Fred, ain't no one in the organization left unscathed after this one.
One thing we haven't talked about, all this NFL Network bashing, the Kerry thing. Sending a letter to...
Embarrassing.
Stupid.
Go away.
Yeah. What's that all about? He sent a letter.
Why do these senators have to feel...
John Kerry.
They need to tell everyone that they're football
fans. You know why?
He wants the
game
put on real
TV the last game of
the season. Because he's
currying favor with the local people here because he thinks it's all about the Patriots-Giants game.
But, you know, first of all, most of his constituents already can see NFL Network because it's more it's mostly Comcast here. We have to pay a little extra, but we have access to it. He's
the best. I don't agree with the NFL on any level in this, but I thought their response was tremendous.
We agree with them.
It was comical. Yeah.
We agree with him.
Mike from the University of Illinois, after watching last night's game.
What do you know about Eugene Wilson?
I remember the 0-1 conference championship when Lee Paper Champions Flowers hit Brady below the knees twice when then Mike Logan did the same ending Brady's day, not to mention Kimo von Allhoffen hit on Carson Palmer. Also, Bill Cowher made some remarks about teams taking cheap shots at Brady during the CBS pregame. Do you expect the Steelers to go after Brady's legs?
No.
Terrence Newman might. He might drive up from Dallas, and he might take a shot at
That'd be the first Patriot that secondary's touched in all year.
The Patriots-Ravens game had the largest audience ever for a cable program. The game on ESPN averaged more than 12.5 million homes and 17.5 million viewers in Rod Rust We Trust. Okay.
Do you honestly think we don't know that?
What does in Rod Rust We Trust mean?
Instead of in Bill We Trust, in Rod Rust We Trust.
In Dante Scarnecchia, I
was trying to make a joke.
Because it rhymes, maybe?
You know what the second...
He's the worst coach in the history of the NFL.
You know what the second greatest show of all time is on cable?
Although he's about to be passed by Cam Cameron.
Got a guess? It's a recent show.
It's what?
A recent show.
Sopranos? What's the question?
Second, whatever the record is, they just broke the cable
Sopranos
TV.
Finale.
Oh, no, it's the
high
closer.
High School Musical 2.
High School Musical 2, yeah.
Showgirl gets it.
Who else? The smartest one in the room gets it.
The closer is the most watched show on cable.
No, this ever.
See, now, do you feel bad? Do you feel bad now for ripping him?
No.
I wouldn't either. He's despicable.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia says, "Hey, bitches, went to the game last night. Not quite as exciting as Monday nights, but fun nonetheless. Pretty comical to see both quarterbacks go down in the first half, and then the game really seemed to start."
Was he another Fred? It was comical.
Any of you watching?
Neither one of those guys' careers ever going
to
be the same.
It was funny to see him on crutches for the rest of his life.
Jason Campbell might never play again.
Aside from kicking away from Hester, it seemed like the ball was flying really strangely on all kickoffs and field goals. It was cold last night, but it didn't seem cold enough that it would have affected the kicking game that dramatically. Any thoughts on what was going on down there?
It was windy.
Didn't watch a play.
I don't know.
I fell asleep. I started watching.
For good reason.
I put it on. There was about 3 minutes left in the game when I saw a short touchdown pass from Collins to Liddell Betts.
You know what the funny thing is?
Away and I shut it off.
I didn't know that. Campbell hurt his knee?
Yeah.
Because I stopped watching when I thought he hurt his shoulder or
elbow
or whatever. I saw him leave the game then, and I assume that's what everybody was talking about, and I just saw that he hurt his knee.
Oh, it was vicious.
What happened to Grossman?
Hurt his knee. Torn MCL, maybe ACL. Early report.
But he was walking off okay.
Sorry that he's hurt.
The snapshot showed him.
Sorry that he's hurt, but if he never plays again, that's great news for Chicago. They can finally move on and get a real quarterback.
Yeah, because the 17 picks that Greasy threw in the four games he played really got him to the next level.
I didn't say it was Greasy. I'm just saying they can find themselves
a
good quarterback.
Plus Kyle
Orton throws like you,
for them.
Which is to say, like a girl. Just saying.
I don't think you're a girl, Eric.
Dave in Abingdon, Virginia, says Maroney only had
one ugly girl.
Maroney only had 13.
I'll give you that. Sorry.
I'm taking my emails and going home.
He's trying to read an email. Would you shut up, Eric?
When are we taking a break, by the way?
Vinny Testaverde is not ruled out playing in 2008. Give it up. Just Jesus. Get out of here. I'm sick of seeing him.
Trouble is, he's
one of the best 32 in the NFL right now.
Maroney only had 13 attempts this past week, and there wasn't very much in the way of holes for him to go through.
I'm concerned
about run blocking. They can't turn it on after defending against the pass rush most of the year. Have you seen big holes for anyone?
They were playing against the best defenses in the league.
I saw the same holes for Kevin Falk.
Right.
And I saw him get more yardage out of those same holes than Maroney did.
And there was that one play, like I told Andy, where it was jumbled up in the middle and a hole opened up to the left, and he kind of just ran, stopped, and, like, huddled up. And, like, he doesn't see the other holes open. Like, if there's a hole there where he's supposed to run, he'll hit it. But if it's not there and another hole opens up, he's not going to that hole.
And see, I thought he was doing that in the first month or so of the season. He looked like he was reading better and was hitting the holes and getting and, you know, making plays.
He'll be fine. All right, we're going to take a break because Paul wants to. We'll be right back.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, we decided during the break that we're going to have a New Year's Eve party at my house.
Yes, and everyone's invited.
You hear that, Nikki?
It's not like we can't talk about continue the conversation of
right.
The show.
I have Wii games.
But new ones.
Yeah, but I'll probably get some for Christmas.
Yeah.
Although no one
Connor.
Knows what that conversation is. Plus, Connor doesn't know it, but he's getting an Xbox 360.
Well, he knows it now.
He does now.
He doesn't listen.
With our audience, we're growing by the day.
No, so we have that, too.
What are the chances that at least someone that knows Connor doesn't listen to the show? Come on. Yeah. We're huge.
We're
worldwide.
Kids are going to go up to him in school and say, dude, you know what you're getting?
You're getting an Xbox. I'll be over tomorrow.
No, he's like, in September, he's like, you know, because he's got the PlayStation 2. He's like, oh, I really want.
How many game
he's
consoles does he need?
Fred? He's a Kirsch, all right.
Well, he goes, he's got the PlayStation
too. I really would like that Xbox 360. He goes, I'd even be willing to wait till Christmas for it. I'm like, oh, that's really
oh,
nice.
Wow.
To think of you.
Yeah. Hey, right. Mini Gary, what do you got in there?
It's the grillers.
You got to turn the mic on.
Yeah. Never mind.
Never mind.
Still not working.
Fred, let me ask you a question. How many game consoles is the kid now? Keep in mind, I have no idea about parenting.
Right,
but isn't that
neither
what you
does
would,
Fred?
But isn't that what you would be calling spoiled when a guy has Xbox,
Wii,
PlayStation? I mean, isn't that a bit much?
Pretty expensive
habit.
It
probably
too.
Could be not considered.
Should
much
he be reading
money.
Books and things of that nature?
He has to do that.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
And you guys, I don't know any of these game systems like this, and I'm certainly going to have to learn about them in the future. Do you need the different ones?
Well, they're all different.
But, I mean, is it worth having the different
ones? The Wii is significantly different than the other.
Yes. The PlayStation, you have one or the other, but the one he has is old, and it's all beat up. And actually, the reason why we're getting the other one is because in the PlayStation, you'll play a game, it'll just freeze up. It's like...
Apparently, the Xbox has become more popular.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, but he takes it everywhere, and it's just got banged up, so... That's why it's kind of a replacement.
And we were in Andy and I were in Circuit City, and someone was in front of a TV using a Wii, and they were throwing a pitch and swinging a bat.
Oh, that's I like Wii. I think
to me, that's
you
not playing
that
a video
more
game
than him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because on the Wii, you can get on the internet. You can do a lot.
Oh
of
really?
Stuff. Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you need to get
on
the
laptop,
internet for?
I can get on the internet.
What?
What do you need to get on the internet for if you're playing?
No, I'm just saying you can use it as a browser as well.
Fred gets attracted to those things.
You know, like anime stuff.
If you're watching TV, you know how it's like sometimes on TV they say, go right now to suza.com and vote. Bang, switch it over, just go vote.
Bang, bang.
Or I go, why would I do that?
And you wonder why the Patriots lead every position in Pro Bowl voting.
Fred Kirsch. Yeah, he's got 10 different things he can vote from 10 times or whatever. He single-handedly has Wes Welker in the Pro Bowl.
Let's see. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Nick says, guys, one record no one seems to be talking about when they mention the Pats is their very own winning streak record. If you remember, the NFL does not count playoff games in the official record for winning streaks. Therefore, if the Patriots go 16-0 this year, they will have won 19 games in a row going back to the end of the 06 season, and will break their own record of a couple years ago, which was 18 games in a row. I understand it's kind of a cheat because they lost in the playoffs last year, but they will officially be breaking the record, and I haven't heard anyone bring this up. I don't know if anyone has realized it.
I just don't care.
I was going to say, the reason I'm not bringing it up is because I didn't care then, except for the 21-game winning streak was the one I
That's
cared
the one
about.
That's more important. Yeah.
And people will talk about that one
if they
go 19-0,
that,
then they got a good chance.
Right,
to
I only
next
care
year.
About
and they
Super
can't
Bowls.
Do it until next year.
I think we, you know, back then we were saying it, and I say it now. The only real winning streaks are within a season. When you go from one season to another, yeah, I mean, they count. And that's part of the record, but it's a different team and a different
to
season.
To me, it's a winning streak. There can't be losses in between.
Right. Right.
Well, you can't have postseason losses.
Right. That's
I mean,
true
if
too.
they go 19-0 this year and then go 19-0 next year, that's a 38-game winning streak to me.
I don't care if you have 40-game winning streak. 19-0 in a season is more impressive to me.
But I only care about Super Bowls. I don't care about who wins this, who has thrown the most. But that stuff doesn't matter to me. Just win the Super Bowl.
Which also, and you know, Mike Felger today in the Boston Herald had some updates on some of the records. This last two game, you know, I don't want to call it a skid because they won both games, but kind of brought some of those records into question. A lot of things that we thought were foregone conclusions.
Even Brady.
Yeah, Brady is no longer right now does not have the completion percentage. He's slightly.
Well, I'm talking about the touchdown.
Well, he's very much on par to break.
Well, he needs two a game.
Yeah.
Well, that's not.
He's got 41.
I know, but he needs two a game, right? Going forward,
yeah,
that's not a given.
It's sort of a given.
They don't run the football.
He's had one game.
What if the weather's bad?
He's had one
game. You don't have any.
He's had one game out of 12.
But now the weather's getting bad.
He's had one game out of 12 that he threw less than two.
I know. I understand that.
He needs more than two.
Just saying, he's very much on pace,
and he needs more than two a game to break it.
But he's on pace to shatter it.
Okay.
He's going to break it, Fred. It just said on the bottom line, Georgia Tech names Navy coach Paul Johnson the same position. doesn't that mean Georgia Tech has hired Paul Johnson as their head coach?
Yeah, right.
They worded it funny, but that's Bill's buddy.
Yeah.
Going to Georgia Tech.
I mean, I think it would have just been significant to just say
name's Georgia's
right.
Name's Navy's Paul Johnson head coach. I mean, but
right.
All right.
Maybe now Navy, Frank hey, Tank might have been
wait,
a little bit
whoa,
overzealous.
Whoa, we got something here. Now Navy looking for a new coach.
And Bill maybe looking
word
to get
is
out.
Bill's looking to get, look, wow. Watch it. So I'm just saying, watch
that
out.
That would be the greatest story in the history of sports.
I, you know what? That would be an amazing story. If he went back
stuff.
Home, back to Navy. Oh, forget about the party hats that I would be having. But if he went back to Navy, can you imagine the scope of that story if he went to Navy?
No, it'd be awesome.
I mean, everybody says, well, the Giants or his gym or this, or they could see him retiring and coaching his kids' lacrosse team and stuff like that. Navy.
The kids would love that.
If he went back to Navy.
Yeah, that'd be unbelievable. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No chance,
by the way.
No chance, by the way.
Stefan from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I heard you read an email which talked about Maroney's apparent inability to hit the hole with any force. I had noticed this as well. And I think it's because they are only handing it to Maroney on draws out of the shotgun formation. Not true. This seems to work with Falk because he is small and has a quick start, but I get the impression that Maroney's a little slower from the start and needs that extra yard or two to get into gear. For one series, I'd like to see them line up with Brady under center and Maroney in the backfield. I think given those two steps before taking the ball would increase his speed as well as give him more time to assess how the play is working out. Can I get an I formation anywhere from the field outside the 5-yard line? Hell,
yes.
Can I get an I formation anywhere on the field with Maroney in it?
They do that.
And thank God for Anthony Smith. The Steelers are going to get rocked, and they have him to thank for it. He was just the thing this tired team needed to get some energy back. Now, I have seen Maroney, you know, line up with Brady under center. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that's the issue.
No.
I certainly don't want to see him in an I formation because that means one of those receivers isn't on the field.
What I would like
that
to
makes
see
your team
is
weaker.
A little bit of that stretch play that Tom, it's not quite the sweep, but it allows him to start running downhill and pick his hole.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, but he
I'd
doesn't
like to
pick
see that
holes
a little
well.
Bit, you know?
Fred, where are you in the emails? Because when I hosted yesterday, the first hour, that was one of the ones I meant to get to.
It just came in.
Oh, maybe they resent it then. Okay.
Yeah.
The thought you might have been a little bit behind.
But I agree. I would like to see him maybe get on the perimeter a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sure. I'd like to see him
I'm not,
do
that's
anything.
Not an excuse. I'm not making an excuse.
I'd like to
saying.
See him run the ball forward.
All right.
And look, I don't think it's a surprise. Look, the kid carried – shared carries in college.
Now he's a kid?
Well, he is, yeah. I mean, he's a young guy.
You being condescending.
He shared carries last year.
The
he
boy.
Shared
he's
carries
call him boy pretty soon.
First, simmer down. He shared carries to the first quarter of this season, and they were doing well in that system. Maybe he's not the lead feature back. Maybe he needs to have a complimentary back with him there.
Maybe
in order for him to
they
be successful.
They call them fourth round picks.
Yeah, that's
Marion Barber.
Right. See, that's what would be the unfortunate byproduct. If that's the case, then you definitely wasted a first round.
Or
pick.
Sammy Morris. Wasn't he like a third
Yeah, that's
or fourth
the thing, Andy. When I talk about Barber, it's because they played at the same school and Barber was a fourth round
right.
pick. It's not that, hey, Barber's the best back in football. He's better than Maroney. He went three rounds later and he's not supposed to be as talented.
Right.
That's why I kind of compare those two.
You shouldn't
together.
Be able to have a legitimate comparison between
right.
the two.
And, but
and certainly there is.
Barber's not the first guy that's more successful than a first
no.
round.
Oh, good.
You know.
That's why, you know, way back when you were tooting your own horn about, you know, the fact that Melvin Kuiper called you.
Junior.
Yeah. That was why I agreed with that. I don't think that running back is good value because I think there are so many running backs in that league that you don't have to invest that
right.
high a pick in. I think it's one of those instinct positions that you can kind of have success right away. There's a short shelf life, which is another reason why I don't want to give – you know, a top five pick to a running back because I think even the best wear down after they get those carries. Look at Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson's a shell of his former self, and he hasn't been around that long.
You ever want to talk to Mel Kiper, you call me. I'll call Pete Setter. I'll set
I'm
it up.
I'm sure you
Andy,
can set it up for me.
The next time you talk to him, ask him about Dontrell Savage, the running back from Oklahoma State. I think
okay.
he has a chance to be the best back that comes out. Now,
he may have listed him among the 400 names he threw at me in a
now,
matter of seconds.
I don't know if he's coming
out.
I don't
know him.
I don't think he's a senior, so I don't know if he's coming out. But that's a guy, like, when you talk about the instincts, who I really, really like. So, Oklahoma State -4 over Indiana.
Is he a junior?
That's like stealing, baby.
You
that's
say
like
he's a junior?
Stealing.
Oh, there was another one
yeah,
that
I
really
so.
Liked, Tom.
Because he told me, anytime any of these juniors start to declare, you call me back if you want an update on them.
I'm going to steal Kuiper from you, by the way. Your days with him are numbered.
No, because you'll scare him. Because you'll call Mel. I was watching highlights tonight. And I just want to know what you thought of
Tom.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's not. It's really just a recording. He answers the phone. Hi, how the kids? Okay, and then he just starts rattling off names, and that's the end of the recording. And Andy thinks he actually just talked to him.
He does rattle. No, he asked me questions. I had to update him on some things locally.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Yeah, he asked me questions. I gave him some opinions. Yeah.
Okay. Any of them, you know.
Correct? No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Chris is in Southern California. He says, Belichick's a super mastermind. Paul, not so much.
I agree.
I got a theory for the Steelers game. We all know that Belichick is a super genius as far as strategy goes. And I have a semi-serious theory on what he is doing with Pittsburgh coming in. Semi-serious, meaning that if they blow the Steelers out, I want credit. If not, I'm just joking. Here's the
theory.
I like
this guy's style. That's what I do.
Here's the theory. Bill's doing a rope-a-dope. He is so confident in what the Pats can do, he decided to play both teams, the Eagles and Ravens, really close and let the Steelers think that the Pats have no run defense or corner other than Asante and that they are a tired team. So when the Steelers come in, he's going to blow them out like they were the Dolphins and demoralize the rest of the league. By the way, the title of my email is not actually a shot at Paul. He is actually my favorite, second to Andy.
That's a great email. I love it.
Well, since you don't like me, your theory is stupid. Really stupid.
Since you do like me, I think your theory is stupid.
Okay, I can come
not buying your theory.
Obviously, he's been playing possum with Ellis Hobbs for the last 3 years.
And Ellis Hobbs is the best actor around. Nobody sells like he stinks as a corner like Ellis Hobbs.
And the email is defense. Believe it or not, it's not the first time I've heard this.
Every year we get rope-a-dope theories.
I mean, to me, it's remarkable that no one has figured out what Bill Belichick is all about. And that's one thing and one thing only, and that's winning. And to think that
as much as possible, to think that
he would go into a game without, you know, investing the best personnel, game plan, preparation is silly. Now, do I think that he, you know, leaves every stone unturned every week? No, I think it's a process. Earlier in the year, obviously, they don't have as much in the game plan as you would later in the year when everything is installed. But
he doesn't intentionally not try, not do anything that could help him win.
Not the guy that I've seen the last eight years.
And apparently Buffalo didn't get the rope-a-dope. Oh. They got the first round KO. Right.
But I've heard a couple of guys on radio, on Felger's show yesterday, and Felger said the same thing that we've just said, saying that, you know, maybe they held back and, you know, they had these games against Philadelphia and Baltimore. They knew they could win them without, you know, yeah, I mean,
NFL people don't think that way.
No.
They know that
certainly
these coaches and players are all professionals, and if you don't bring your A game, you can be beat. Yeah, and Bill, he's not sitting there going, geez, we could beat the Eagles by 30, but if we do this, maybe Feely will throw an interception in the end zone. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
If we're going to waste time on dumb theories, continuing our Navy thing, you don't really have to recruit there, right? Because anyone who's going to Navy is interested in going to Navy.
Right? No, you have to recruit.
You do?
Because sometimes guys will be thinking about Navy and Maryland. And they're not sure if they want it. So you do have to sell what
right.
they do.
Sorry,
there.
Bill, you're out. I just can't see Bill going into a parent's home with a kid.
It's not the same kind of recruiting.
You wouldn't have to recruit.
It's not the same kind of recruiting, though, as like Texas and Ohio State.
Right.
But a lot of guys who are looking at Navy will be looking at Navy, Army, maybe
I would think
you know,
that would be
Virginia
the easiest recruiting
or
job
like,
ever.
That was sort of my point is I'm not sure Bill would be a master recruiter.
Yeah. But I think Fred's right.
You just come in and say, I'm Bill Belichick.
I was going
to
say, what he should do is just
you
go in,
with the rings.
Wear his rings,
that's
and
it.
Don't open your mouth because you might damage
if you
it.
You don't mind doing the four-year stint afterwards, it's a no-brainer.
They come to you. I think Fred's right.
And it is a good job
let's
for
be
him.
Honest, Navy's not going to win the national title. They
no,
can only
he's not going to ever do that.
Yeah, no, right.
No, he'd do
like
exactly what Paul Johnson did. Continuing
exactly,
dumb
yeah.
theories.
He'd go 11-2.
Paul Johnson has been remarkable.
10-2.
Yeah.
They lose two games every year. They go to a bowl game every year. And generally, they win the bowl game, too.
Yep.
Let's see. Jason in Chiba, Japan. I thought it was Fred who couldn't win, but apparently it's me and my emails who can't win. It's continuous. I make fun of Jake. Tom butchers my jokes. I make fun of
this
Tom.
This email was there yesterday, too. Fred, you're a menace.
Have you gotten to any of today's emails?
It literally just came in.
Oh. So everyone's just resending emails now?
Apparently.
I was going to say, you read that yesterday.
It does say 1:01 p.m. on Friday on it.
That's right.
All right. My apologies.
Again.
But it is the same one that was read yesterday.
Okay, we'll read it.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
I thought I read
it. I'm not reading
unless it.
Unless
it changes down the end.
Well, keep going.
He whined about this yesterday.
I make fun of Jake. Tom butchers my jokes. I make fun of Tom for butchering my jokes and don't even get read. But some douche canoe from Foxborough, Tom,
that's word for word,
gets his.
Yesterday.
With my luck, Fred will read this email.
Yep.
It worked.
That's some horrible luck.
So you already read it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sayonara.
Peace out.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you did
there. Yeah, that was good.
Like that? Sayonara.
That's kind of humor is a little bit over my head.
Right.
I got
it's a little British and pompous.
If you go to an SAT prep course and you get up a little bit, you can understand these.
I would have just gone like lowbrow.
Meow.
Keith says, I've read that some scouts are saying that Darren McFadden is a better all-around back when compared to Adrian Peterson.
First of all, you didn't read any scouts. Because it's no scouts are out there telling you what they think
he
of
him. Might have been talking to Chris Ferreira.
He has people.
Some have said that McFadden is definitely more durable, is a better blocker in picking up the blitz, and also can catch the ball a lot better than Peterson, with McFadden having good hands. Of course, Peterson is the better pure runner, but is said to lack blocking and receiving skills with his durability in question. I don't know if scouts are trying to upsell McFadden, but if he winds up being drafted by the Patriots, boy, would that be scary offense. If the Pats go defense in the draft, who do they take? Dan Connor, James Laurinaitis, or Antoine Kaysen?
First of all, when Peterson was injured in college, those were big injuries, and he came back. He was playing with a broken shoulder in a bowl game, pretty much. McFadden, on the other hand, when I do positives and negatives, negatives is going to be sits out of big games with minor injuries, because he's done that a lot, especially this season. And I don't know if that's him knowing he's going to make a lot of money, and he's kind of pulling back a little bit. But that I don't see anything right there. And the second thing is, Adrian Peterson is catching the ball just fine in the NFL. I don't care what he did in college,
right?
But in the NFL, we already have a sample now. He's played almost a full season, so he can catch the ball fine. And I'll go to Mel Kiper's theory. I didn't draft Adrian Peterson to block. I don't care if he can block a lick.
You don't care about your quarterback, Tavares Jackson. You lose him, you lose him.
We're talking about Brian Gumbel's salary, what it might be. Sam from Denmark says, Brian Gumbel and Katie Kirk were co-hosts on NBC The Today Show in 06. Katie Kirk left the Today Show, by which time she was making $16 million a year. So Gumbel's got to be making seven figures. So
now you're not getting Brian Gumbel.
The logic seems a little flawed there, in that Katie Kirk does the NFL, I mean the nightly news, right?
Yeah.
And Brian Gumbel works.
No, she was making $16 million.
But with the Today Show, she was making $16 million a year, which means, in my opinion, Gumbel had to be making at least twice that.
Yes.
No, I think that salary was for that's the salary she got when she went to the news.
He said at the time she left, that's what he said. I don't know.
Whatever Gumbel's
I'm just going by the
I remember that story, and that number was a story said as what she was getting to go do the nightly news.
I thought she was making $30 for the news, but maybe I'm...
I think it was $16 million.
I thought it was more than that,
getting overpaid.
They're both getting overpaid. But the issue is also...
I'd rather see Kate from Accra.
What?
Accra. I'd like to see her.
Accra!
But Gumbel only works...
She could do a better job.
If he's making $16 million right now to do eight games a year...
He's only working half a season now. It's
on a sport that only plays 16 times at a full season, so...
But he's not... The Today Show is every day. I mean, he's obviously not going to have a salary commensurate with that.
Right. That's my point.
But my point, my point was, he was making $16 million a year. He wasn't coming back for like $400,000.
Yeah,
is my
that's
point.
Wrong.
And my point is, you don't really have to be good at anything to make millions of dollars. You just got to be in the right place at the right time.
Sam, you've been told that you're wrong by Andy, so you got to back that up a little bit. Do some more research and give us some more.
I think what Tom said, I was thinking the news was something
Where's
like 30
strippers?
Million.
We should not even be done arguing, and strippers should
have
the
email
that says, Katie Couric makes X, Brian Gumbel makes Y.
And a naked picture of her.
Strippers has chimed in, but not on that subject. You just sent us an article on NFL.com by Ira Miller. Now, Ira Miller has been around the NFL for a long time. The article is titled, Is Going 16-0 Something the Patriots Really Want to Do?
Yes.
And he goes down the list of teams that have had trouble. And so if you want to read that, it's on NFL.com.
I think those stories are the dumbest stories out there.
Rhetorical question.
I have a question for you guys, Tom in particular, because I think that you might remember this. But when the Colts lost to the Chargers 2 years ago, they played that game legit, didn't they?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There was one or two players who were kind of injured that they didn't play, but they were legitimate injuries. And I think they said at the time, if this were the playoffs, they could go.
But those are
any team would do that at that point in the season.
It's sort of being portrayed.
The Colts
now
have been doing that now with guys.
Yeah.
Around here, particularly with Felger, and I'll rip him when he comes in if he does. But it's being portrayed that they went in the tank, you know, intentionally took the foot off the gas and it cost them. I don't think they took the foot off the gas in that game.
No,
I think
after
they
that
lost
game.
And then they rested in the last week.
That's how I recall as well.
Yeah. I don't because I remember that San Diego game it was a great game first of all.
Yeah. It was a blueprint game, by the way.
Once they lost, that's when they started to rest. Yeah. Gerald is in San Clemente, California. Great show as always. Thanks for keeping the California Patriot Nation up to speed, although I seem to be losing friends on a regular basis. Quick comment on the game this weekend. I look at this game as if the Pats were coming off a loss in many respects. When you look over the past several years, the Pats always came back with an extremely strong effort after a shaky game. Yes, they won the pass game, but the effort wasn't there, and they probably should have lost. Ravens' stupidity and Brady got them through it. I just see the Pats completely controlling this game from the start. Do you see it going the same way?
I think it's going to be a good game, this Steelers game. I like. I mean,
there won't be any early nods from you, though.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I might change, but I think Pittsburgh is pretty good. I think the Patriots are better, and I think it'll be a good game, and the Patriots will win by 10.
What if there's a flea flicker for the Patriots on the first play, and that guy Anthony Smith bites, and Brady goes deep to Moss for an 80-yard touchdown?
They've scored first the last two games.
I like it. And then what?
Will that give you a nod?
No. A three and out followed by that might
give me a nod.
That's
the thing. They've scored first in the last two games, but the other team has answered.
Because my concerns don't have anything to do with the Patriots' offense. My concerns have to do with the Patriots' defense. So I want to see how they, you know, handle Parker, handle Roethlisberger.
But aren't you concerned with the Steelers' defense? You're not concerned with that?
No.
Okay.
I've seen the Patriots move the ball at will against the Steelers' defense the last 5 years.
I think you're right. I'm just asking. I agree with him. But I want.
I just don't think that style of defense really bothers the Patriots.
You guys know what haikus are, right?
Yes.
The little poems, they have to have a certain amount of
If anybody didn't know, Eric would explain it. He probably would give us an example.
Shannon writes one. It's a little haiku. It goes like this. Hi, Steeler douchebag. Have fun losing on Sunday from this peckerwood. So that's
just lowbrow enough to make me laugh.
I think it's a nice little haiku.
I like it.
I like the Steelers.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. Could Seymour and his contract be traded easily? I've always thought he was a great player, but it seems like he's not nearly the dominant force he once was. If he doesn't pick up his production between now and February, is it possible that he could be sold high after the season? If so, what type of return could the Pats get for a guy that was considered an elite defensive player not too long ago?
Sold high, wouldn't that have been selling him a couple of years ago?
That would be selling low.
You just said if he doesn't have a good rest of the season, let's sell him high. You know, you got to love these Patriot fans, though, because you know if Asante Samuel gets killed this week by Ward or Holmes, they'll be saying, well, I guess Asante isn't worth all that $30 million after all. The way they change, it went from defending Seymour, saying he's, you know, he does other things, to is there any way we can unload this waste of space?
Sell high. Dan also says, with the potential top five pick in April, the Pats may be in a position to add another impact defensive lineman to the rotation like Glenn Dorsey or Chris Long.
Well, they'll be in position.
Yeah.
Do they really want to add another impact defensive lineman and pay him $45, $50, whatever the heck, million dollars it is?
Because Chris Long is kind of intriguing because you know he plays for Al Groh.
Right.
And there's some
he's definitely a 3-4 end.
Yeah, there's technique there that's intriguing, but I agree with
you. He'd be making more than Warren Wilfork and Seymour.
unless
Wilfork's going to want to have a chat with you soon.
Unless, of course, that you sell high on Seymour.
Ben is from Bible Hill, Nova Scotia. Andy's big game of the year is almost upon us. I just hope that we don't see another Big Ben Phantom TD like the two we've seen in the past. What's with this guy? How can something like that big and moving that slow fool the officials twice on critical goal line playing calls?
I don't know what we're talking about. Did I miss it?
I don't either.
Did he have a controversial call when he was
for
a touchdown?
Rushing touchdown, but I didn't know there was a controversy.
The Cincinnati one? The
other night? I thought it was a touchdown.
Oh, God.
Touchdown by a mile.
Yes, easily. If that's one of the ones they're talking about.
Anyways,
I don't know about the other one.
Just a quick tip for Tom, since he has outlawed toilet paper in the Casale residence. While I agree the wipes are the real deal, why don't you step it up a level and buy a wipe heater available at most baby specialty stores?
Whoa, what are we talking
and
about?
And try
warm wipes.
You got to be kidding me.
No, it really does.
My God. You see his face?
It's a little thing you plug in. It warms the wipes.
This is something you couldn't tell me
I don't think
about?
You need it.
You know, Mark Capello probably knows about this.
Yes. Now, who's this emailer?
This is Ben from Bible Hill, Nova Scotia.
I will try this.
And by the way, I'm usually looking for a cooling sensation on my butt, not a warming.
Actually, you orange fire water shooting. Your wife uses them too? You don't have anything in the household?
Oh, not... no, she doesn't like them. She has to.
That's what I.
She hides toilet paper around the house. I know she does.
Let's see.
She's got a stash somewhere.
She's hiding. Found it. She's hiding toilet paper. Tom's hiding porn.
P.S. Women. Where was Fred the last couple of days? Moonlighting at Bass Pro as a greeter, or perhaps demonstrating the proper technique on how to paddle a douche canoe. Pat's 31 stealing.
I just got term, this mental picture of Fred now. Like one of those shirts nice on.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Bass Pro.
I would do that. I just wouldn't shake their hand because of the germs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hello, welcome to Bass Pro.
Dwayne is in Boston on the phone. Dwayne, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
It sounds like you're having a jolly time talking about toilet paper and douche canoes.
That's what we do.
You got it.
Anyway, I've been hearing a lot of talk like about some of the things that affect the Patriots negatively, like their coverage, their linebackers, the officials, even Randy Moss. But the one thing I don't hear enough is about the offensive line. We notice that every single game, where they're struggling against the Colts, against the Ravens, and what was the other game, Philadelphia, all of them had games where Brady was under constant pressure. I think maybe some of that has to do with the fact they're passing every play, but I think something needs to be said about the fact that the offensive line hasn't been impenetrable as it was early in the year.
Well, I certainly think the passing every play would fall under in the Philly game when they came out there empty and Kevin fought. I mean, it was obvious gun.
Yeah.
I mean, the Eagles could just do whatever they wanted because they knew they weren't running the ball. So I think that – I don't think they've played their best games of late.
No.
But I also don't think it's a great offensive line.
I think they've played pretty well, though, year. Yeah.
They've been okay, but they haven't – I wouldn't say they've been dominant or impenetrable or any of that.
No, I wouldn't – Now, of course, I wouldn't say that they're completely dominant. I'm saying dominant as compared to their competition area. It's very easy to look dominant against the Miami Dolphins as compared to the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I would agree with that. The first few weeks, they looked really good.
So Dwayne, is it
But they're not good enough necessarily to dominate the Baltimore Ravens or maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, yeah.
Good defensive
front.
So, Dwayne, is it your contention that the Patriots offensive line is overrated?
I wouldn't say that they're overrated. However, I think that everyone knows that you can break down the Patriots offensive line with a good blitzing scheme. And I think that that's what Pittsburgh is going to try to do. However, the only reason why I think that Pittsburgh will not do it is because of their head coach. Their head coach was the defensive coordinator for Minnesota last year. And if he plays the same defense that Minnesota played against the Patriots, I mean, they could pretty much stay home.
Well, he won't do that.
And Tomlin was hired under the assumption that this is still Dick LeBeau's defense.
Apparently, it's still Dick LeBeau's defense,
and they haven't really done much.
What's his name?
Some wrinkles.
Arenas?
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians.
Offense. They haven't changed much. Tomlin's the head coach, but it's the same offense.
The only thing is, I'll say, is the Patriots have had success against the Pittsburgh's defense with a lesser offensive lines. I would say this is as good as the offensive line they had in the last 6 years.
And I'd also have to say, I don't think blitzing is the problem. It's not a lot of runaway rushers. I think it's more a problem guys get beat. Pass rushers just beat.
I think that a lot of people are taking the page out of Denver's scheme to beat the Patriots. Denver always brings the pressure because it seems like Denver never respects the Patriots' run game.
Yeah,
I think you're right about that.
And you know what? If you look at the Eagles game, Brady did get a little pressure, and I believe the two sacks were given up both by Kazier. So if you take those away, I mean, it's not the entire offensive line that's breaking down.
I think Kazier struggled the most, but it's not just Kazier.
It's not just Kazier.
Light got torched by Indy. He had some trouble against Philly. Kazier has been the least proven member of the line. Beaten more than anybody else.
That's my point, though. In every game, it seems to be one particular guy is having a bad game,
right,
and that leads to the pressure. So as a unit, they tend to do well. Obviously, they're human. One of them is going to have a bad day now and then, and I think
troubling part the other night against Baltimore was the Ravens didn't blitz hardly at all in the game, and they rushed, for the most part, only three guys, and yet they were still finding ways to get in. They only blitzed, McDaniel said, 12 or 13 times in the whole game. That's a lot of plays to only blitz, that infrequently. So, to me, there should have been – Brady should have had all day to throw in that game, and he didn't.
Well, see, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how many times they blitz. It's how many times they get to the quarterback when they blitz. I mean, you can blitz. I mean, you can only blitz five times a game. If you get to the quarterback five times, that's effective blitzing.
No, I understand that, but didn't you think he was under pressure for most of the game?
Well, yeah. But
I thought
not necessarily towards the end.
I mean, the fourth down pass that he threw to Watson, he had to get out of the pocket, scramble forward, threw off his front foot, and the throw that ended up being the holding call.
Yeah.
That was a three-man rush. There's no reason that he should have had any pressure on him on that play.
Well, what can I say? The offensive line sucks.
All right. Dwayne in Boston.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Dwayne in Boston. Okay.
He wrapped that up well. What can I say? They suck.
Just to get back to what you were saying, Eric, apparently in the last couple of days I learned you could say douche. You could say douche canoe. The problem is the word bag.
Oh, I see.
That's sort of like the word hole.
That's the word you need to stay away from.
Can't say hole with a certain
other
word.
Can't combine those two words.
Yes.
I see. Right. I see.
You can say douche, you can say bag, but you can't say...
I don't know what douche canoe is.
Well, I'm pretty sure we made that up.
I still haven't figured that one out.
The FCC would have to scramble to add that to a list.
It's some email or emailers.
Oh, my God.
Strippers is...
We picked it up and run with it, though.
Look at that douchebag.
You can't say that. Strippers says...
I think you can't.
Stripper says that since you guys want warm wipes, maybe you should use the login for gaymultipass.com.
Jeez.
What is it? also, he wants to know Winslow versus Jets or Watson. Who do I start at tight end?
Winslow versus
Winslow.
Jets.
Okay, and Sam has some more
salary info.
Yes, he says Kirk made $16 million doing today and is now making $15 million. NBC offered her $20 million to stay, but she left to do the news.
She took a pay cut to go to the news.
Evidently,
bad call on her part.
Maybe that was like the total.
Yeah,
whatever,
she's really,
how many,
she's really struggling financially.
I don't know years she got, but maybe it was
she
like
got a
total
lot of years,
package.
And I believe she got, she got control.
The news is
what are
serious.
You doing now over there?
The phone's
she's
got
not
going to
answer.
No, I know, but I'd rather just talk about like pie on the Today Show and make $16 million. He's not going to answer. He's a baby. Hi, you've reached Chris Ferreira.
Hi, you've reached the desk.
No,
Chris Ferreira.
Not going to answer.
There was no doubt there. He's
not
going to
answer.
Not going to
do it.
Not going to do it.
Just reinforcing your
his
theory.
His stones are in Lowell.
Fitchburg.
The funny thing is, though, too, that cheap SOB wouldn't even do Secret Santa.
Yep.
He can't
split. Oh, no one included me in that.
Oh,
you wanted to do
talk
it?
To your girl, Baranski.
I'll give you this right here. You can do it. You can buy for the person I got.
Wow.
Baranski's in charge
Secret
of that.
Santa, Fred?
Fred. Yeah, Lori's the...
Yep, got to talk to Lori.
TG and NJ says, Tom doesn't want to go to the Pro Bowl. He doesn't want to hang with T.O. and Romo and all the other Cowboys. He doesn't want to hang with Eugene Wilson. Guess he better have. He'd rather have Fred put his money in his paycheck.
It's the 14-hour flight,
and I'll get to hang out with those guys for a whole week at the Super Bowl. I don't need to see him again in Hawaii.
Oh, by the way, we should include that we talked about Eugene Wilson was fourth, and we said James Sanders, but James Sanders was third actually in strong safeties. So
Jimmy's going to the Pro Bowl.
He hasn't been overlooked either.
Jimmy doesn't go to the Pro Bowl.
Brian,
he doesn't either.
Brian no in Colorado chance. Says, I thought I'd send you guys a set of kitchen knives for Christmas since you've emptied the drawer in Eric's back. There must be a zero.
Don't worry about it.
There must be a zero tolerance
you,
policy
not
at
the only thing he takes
for
in
artsy
the back.
Fartsy types.
What was that I missed?
No, forget it.
I agree with you, Fred.
I heard you, unfortunately.
Too bad, Andy.
So when are those knives coming? We'll use those to cut our subs?
Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina, do you guys have any idea why a lot of players introduce their high school instead of their college when they do their intros? I know Asante Samuel went to UCF, but he does his high school instead. I just found that curious and wondered if you guys had any insight.
Probably because they graduated from the high school.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
Taking some shots at the guys there.
You can't get to college if you don't graduate.
I think some people.
Oh, really?
I think some people do it different. Just to do
I
it
think
to be
it became
different.
A trend. It started out, I think, with a few guys who hated their college.
Yeah. Yep. I think there's
and
some guys that
the
have
cool
a reason.
Thing,
yeah.
Because I've heard guys do elementary schools. They're
trying to
lower
different.
The bar every time.
Some guys have a reason. Ty Law always, he
Aliquip equips.
He had a problem with Michigan. There's always it's guys equip. That have a reason, but. I think Andy's right. Now it's become like the Vogue thing.
Yeah.
You know what would be funny?
What?
Is if there was really a problem with the broadcast and he was trying to reach Chris and Chris didn't answer.
Right.
And Fred got mad at him when we went upstairs.
Fire him. Fire
him.
Well,
the funny thing is he just called down here like 5 minutes ago because he saw he had a missed call from down here. So we wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Well, tell him that I'm about to call you back.
He got Chris.
Fred,
he got
fire.
That would have been good radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Matt from Springfield. Wednesday's show had a number of idiot emailers being literal on the meaning of a fan and saying that it's actually short for fanatic. Some word meanings may change slightly over time. We've all heard the term casual fan. There can't be such a thing as a casual fanatic. That's like saying someone is a monogamous cheater. So when these literal fools heard Moss ask Belichick for a little love on their bodies, did they think he meant kisses from head to toe and a massage from the coach? Also, Brian Billick was not blowing kisses at Harrison. He saw the back of number 21's jersey, and when he turned around, Billick proceeded to blow smooches. What, Randall Gay?
What?
I don't
back
know.
Of 21.
I lost him on that.
Nice try, Mike. Yeah.
It's a play on Gay, I think.
Oh.
He made a play on Gay?
I was thinking of 21 for the Ravens.
Let's see. TG and NJ. The good thing if the Pats lose to the Steelers. These are the good things if the Pats lose to the Steelers. Ready?
The good things?
Mercury Morris's 15 minutes are over.
First of all, I love Mercury Morris.
I can't get enough of him. Tom, I did see the rap.
I'm buying that CD. I'm going to play it in my car all the time and listen to him rapping. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
No more 19-0 bull, you know. Maybe we can rest some stars.
Good job, Fred.
No more NFL analysts rooting for the Pats to lose. No, they'll still
root. They'll still root.
Well, okay, Pittsburgh, you beat the Pats, but you lost to the Jets. So then what happens to Anthony Smith? How come the Colts didn't seem to go through all this crap when they were 13-0? Did I miss something?
Evidently you did, because they went through all this crap. I mean, they didn't have their own little tag on ESPN, the way they're doing the scroll, but people were talking about the Colts going undefeated constantly.
But it didn't seem like it was
but
the
it wasn't
hype.
Pejorative. The only thing I'll say is I don't think that people were I don't think there was as much venom in hoping that it didn't happen. And we have to use a word that no one else understands.
What did he say?
Yeah. Pejorative.
You know what it means, Paul. Don't try to play stupid.
Of course we know what it means, but I'm just trying to I'm trying to use a word that I know that everybody else knows.
But I know what gay means.
TG also says, Jaws mentioned that Light and Kazier have trouble with speed rushers on the outside.
Good notice by Jaws.
Just saying he breaks down all that film.
That's a good pickup.
He found a little nugget.
Do you think that that's
Jaws?
Do you think that's the deciding factor in the Steelers game?
Not really.
No, I mean – Dallas had a great outside pass rusher, and they held him in check.
Yeah.
You know? Trent Cole of the Eagles didn't really do much in that game. The pressure came from elsewhere. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem.
I think if the Steelers get pressure, it could be more up the middle.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers pressure great with speed rushes off the edge.
Nope.
I think that they zone blitz and they confuse you. Yes.
All over the
as
place.
As good a season as James Harrison is having, I don't think that will be a problem.
They confuse you more so than beat you off the edge with Dwight Freeney-like speed.
How can the Patriots win this game? Moss is going to have to work for a change. Brady is going to have to plan to scramble a little bit more, run the sweep. Asante, keep up the great work. So
Asante?
Asante, keep up the great work? Or
what was
or
the
us?
Asante part?
He's just wondering if...
That's how they win?
Yeah.
Oh, so he just picks off a couple passes?
Yeah, he
kind of like
the
they won in
work.
Philly? Against Philly?
Yeah, could be.
Let's see. Chris says, mention to the guys to stop calling me. I'll talk to them off the air, but not live on the show. I don't know
Did
why.
Your wife tell you you're not allowed to talk on the air?
He's going to be so mad at us when we go upstairs.
Yeah. Chris, that would make good
keeping
radio.
My door locked.
Fred says you're fired if you don't talk to us on the air.
You become expendable if you don't talk to us.
Part of that job description is on air.
I like how he says, I'll talk to you off the air. I don't really want to talk to you off the air.
No, it's on the air.
There's really no need to do that.
We're accustomed to your idiocy. We want to bring that idiocy to our listeners.
Steve from Winchester has a real issue with the NFL.com. he says, I received this email from the NFL promising to watch the Bears and Redskins free online. Thought the NFL was finally relenting and offering fans access to the games since they won't budge in their negotiations with the cable companies. Instead, we got access to a bunch of fat guys in aluminum foil suits jabbering about football with occasional score updates. It was ridiculous, a complete lie. No Bears, Redskins free online. All it did was remind us that the NFL right now has decided to screw the fan base. I'll be in Maine with my family for Christmas in Time Warner territory. We've checked around. No access to the NFL channel in the local hotels and bars. No potential 16-0 Pats Giants game. Thanks, NFL. Oh, and by the way, on the Pro Bowl balloting, the NFL used to offer balloting with sortable stats so you could look at categories you don't follow, like NFC free safeties, and sort by interceptions and tackles. Now, all that's been replaced by advertising, So you have to vote based on name recognition, a complete joke, so it's not surprising that a Eugene Wilson gets a lot of votes.
No, I would just say that's what you get for going to see your family for Christmas. Should have stayed home. There's a lesson there.
There you go.
Who are the guys in aluminum suit? What did you say?
I don't know.
It means probably suits? Just morons.
Who was it? Was it like, I don't know what they
Well,
did.
They have live look-ins on NFL.com for these NFL Network games where they show like a very small portion live of the game. I haven't seen it. I've read about it. But I don't think it's any significant point. I mean, maybe 5 minutes worth of the game total. I don't think you could certainly follow the game well enough doing that.
In case anyone's wondering, Bonds pled not guilty.
Yeah,
and Marvin Harrison looks like he's going to play Sunday, so Harrison getting healthy.
They've been saying that for a month, though, with him.
Well, it looks like he's closer to getting healthy.
I don't think that they've been saying that he was going to play. Every week he seems to be out. And if they're thinking about having him play, I think that's a major change because I thought that he was done. I didn't think there was any chance of him playing.
Dave says, since you guys compared the Colts running back Adai to Maroney, do you know how Adai did this past week? I do. Adai only got 67 yards and 22 carries, a 3.05 yards per attempt. Maroney only had 13 attempts for 44 yards for 3.4 yards an attempt. Typical New England fans, you guys need to bitch about something.
Doesn't he have 2,000-yard seasons, or has he reached 1,000 yet?
Who's this email?
You're right. In week 12, but Maroney was the better guy.
You got to be kidding me. That is the stupidest email we've ever gotten. Who's that, Fred?
Dave.
Dave from who? Where?
From who?
Dave. I just told you.
Dave. That's
can't
the
argue
worst
with that.
Email
I can't, how can you argue with that,
ever
Tom?
Sent.
He was the better running back in week 12.
Yeah, who was
you got to admit it.
Unbelievable. That is just a terrible. Who was the better running back on the field when they played? Did you catch that game?
Who was the better running back the previous 30 weeks or whatever it's been?
Your mom goes to college.
I would say typical New England fan, you don't know anything.
Oh, now. Hey, now.
Hey, I call him like I see him.
I know that he was probably trying to tweak us a little bit, but that was pretty
And
dumb.
It worked with Tom.
That was pretty fired.
I just don't like stupidity. And that guy's obviously stupid. Now, if you have some kind of mental retardation,
Fred,
that's
fine. Even you, Fred, don't buy that.
I let other people talk, and I just sit back and let them talk. Hey, bitches, James from the UK here. You guys are unbelievable. You bitch about how the Pats fans want to 1 second dump Seymour and the next second make excuses for him. Well, of course we do. Don't you realize you're reading emails from different people? They are bound to have different opinions. Why is it only okay for you guys to give
Thanks.
Unbiased
Did you go to
opinions
college?
And not okay for 50 different Pats fans to have different opinions? Don't get me wrong. I love the way you guys run the show, especially Paul, because he gives the most unbiased view. But I think it's unfair to label Pats fans the way you do with them. It is true. Pats fans do have different opinions.
No,
can you stop for a second?
No, but one time a guy wrote in and you go, that's what I don't like about Pats fans. But it was just that one guy.
Okay, I'm definitely
guilty
of that.
And you don't know that we're generalizing.
Right. No, I am the guilty one with that. I generalize on Pats fans all the time. But is it an opinion to say that you can trade Seymour at the end of the year and sell high? Is that an opinion?
Or
is that just an incorrect fact?
Well, I don't know. That's somebody else said that. I'm not sure what he thought it was.
And it was stupid.
I can't
Fred,
speak for him.
Fred, Richard Seymour will be coming off
You'd
the
have
worst
to
year.
Ask him.
Richard Seymour will be coming off the worst year of his career. True or false? Fact. True or false?
If it ended today, true.
Okay, so how would that be selling high?
That's right.
Okay, that's not an opinion.
Well, maybe before
it's a stupid
he proved
one.
It, maybe you know you could say, well, the injury, blah blah blah. Before it's really a fact that he's not good anymore. Now there's a question.
We don't know if it's a fact.
So now you're
he's
saying
good
he's
or
not good
anymore.
No, but if he had another season No. If he had another season
Fred,
like
selling
this,
high would be
down.
Selling when he's playing at the best.
I know what selling
That's
would.
Selling high.
It was like 2 years ago.
I know it's
right.
Selling. But
Before he signed the contract.
Right.
Anyway, and we don't care about differing opinions, but I think it's stupid to say we're going to trade Seymour because they're not going to do that. They're not going to trade Richard Seymour. That's
Certainly
a stupid
not
idea,
high.
And it's a stupid email.
I got to disagree.
Patriots fans are calling you out.
Get one
it.
Other thing. Paul's not unbiased. He hates the Patriots. There's a bias there. It's just not the same
as
everybody
listen,
else.
Listen, I'm not the one that wanted my pick against Denver to be right like you did. So,
well, I always root for myself to be right
first
and foremost.
Let's not try to deflect
no
the fact
there.
That you hate the Patriots while Fred and I were freezing our butts off out there as season ticket holders.
You've never even gone to a game. What?
You've never even gone to a game.
I did.
Not that you didn't get paid for.
Yes, I did.
When?
2000, before I worked here.
You went to a game,
yeah,
a Patriots game, not a Dartmouth High School game.
Patriots game. Ravens. Sean Morey had a big day.
20-3, Patriots win. It was so actually
you,
the
so you were
finale
sad that
99.
Day because you're biased and hate the
no,
Patriots.
No, who was the winning quarterback? Who was the winning quarterback that day?
Oh yeah, you were torn.
So why would
then.
I have been sad?
You hated the team and you loved the quarterback.
First of all, Fred, will you set him straight?
Yeah.
So you didn't start hating the team till 2001.
You all hate the Patriots. We all agree. Of you.
I don't hate
so
the Patriots.
So you admit you hate the Patriots.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You don't.
I love the
you
Patriots.
Like
I've been
much.
A season ticket holder for a lot of years.
Well, why didn't you say that?
You haven't been a season
94.
Ticket holder
you care
yet.
Less about them.
You still have season tickets?
That's not
yes.
true.
No, you don't.
You want to bet?
You have season tickets.
You want How much
I'm
you want to bet?
The ticket office. Paul
it's
Perillo.
Not under my name. It's under Greg Fonzi, F-O-N-Z-I. Go check it.
What the?
Call right now. Go call Mary Ruth right now and say if she has an account under Greg Fonzi.
I don't care about Greg Fonzi, Paul.
That's my season ticket.
I'll call Mary Ruth and see if she has a John Smith. If she does, I've been season ticket holder for 14 years.
I'm giving you a real name. That's the facts.
You Why is your horrible. Season rolling ticket under Greg Fonzi?
Because you can't have it under – when you have four tickets, you can't have each individual guy like that if you wanted to – to get the
so you make payments every year.
So who's Greg Fonzi?
No, I
that's
sold.
A name you made up. Is
no,
it?
I swear to God.
Does he wear a leather jacket?
No, I swear to God, it's an actual guy. He lives in Ipswich.
You would not have those tickets. They just use your.
I invented a fake guy, Andy.
No, you're just not a season ticket holder. That's the bottom line.
I have not bought the season tickets since I've been working here, but they're always going to be there for me when I stop working here. When I'm 89 years old and I no longer work here.
Belichick's gone. You'll be back in the stands drunk and punching people.
Why do you guys hate Belichick so much?
I don't. Paul does.
I don't know why you would say something like that.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
pretty obvious. No, I have nothing against Bill. He doesn't like me.
Good work, young guy.
Let's see. Stripper says, this is from Tuesday, February 24th, 2006. If Katie Couric takes Dan Rather's old job on the CBS Evening News, it will cost her big time, $7 million a year. Right now, she makes around $13 million a year co-hosting The Today Show with Matt Lauer. I'm told that NBC wants her to stay put so badly they will offer her $20 million a year, so it's a $7 million hike to spurn CBS's advances.
Wow, she made a bad decision.
She sure as hell did. She sure as hell
did. You know when they're really going to get killed is when the presidential coverage, because Dan Rather used to get big ratings for that. People used to always watch CBS, and CBS is going to get murdered this coming year for that.
She should have used my Reggie Wayne theory. Life's good in Indy. They're giving you a decent offer. Take it.
Let's see. Dave says, this is the same Dave. He says, yeah, I don't know nothing. And Bill doesn't know anything. And Tom Brady doesn't know anything.
I don't know. No, those guys know a lot.
Bill playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
Bill said they had production for us. Tom said they played great. They have all year, as they always do. And who is stupid?
Yeah, whatever. You, because you believe those guys, whatever they say.
By the way.
You just proved you're an idiot.
Down the stretch last year, Tom Brady said how great his wide receiver core was.
Did you believe that, you freaking moron?
Then a day after the season was over, he went to Bill and said, enough is enough with this nonsense. Go out and get me some receivers.
So you keep listening to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They always tell you
what
they think.
Plus, just so you know, if you listen to Bill on Tuesday and Wednesday, he's going to say different things, so you'll have to change your opinion.
Tuesday, Bill said they were a tired team.
On Thursday,
not only he said they weren't tired, he claimed it was Wednesday.
Right, and Dave doesn't know what to think because he can't think for himself. He has to have Bill Belichick
tell
him what his opinion
is. You're getting killed here. Now you know how it feels.
Which Dave is this? We have a lot of Dave. We have Dave in the
Kirkland?
Philippines, Dave Kirkland? In Stores, Connecticut.
What's the email address?
Those two are actually intelligent.
No, I'd be very surprised to see them talk.
This is a new Dave.
Where's Dave from?
He's been Kirkland, I think.
He's from Kirkland, or his last name
is
Kirkland?
Is that just what you do?
I don't know.
Ron and Raymond, New Hampshire,
We'll end the show with Dean from DeBerry, Florida, who gives us the definition of douche canoe. He says, someone who exceeds the limits of being a normal douche or a douchebag.
Dave, Kirkland.
So that'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be watching this game on Sunday. With bated breath, it's going to be an awesome one. I predict a 14-point win for the Patriots, and we'll see you next Tuesday.